Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The beast, the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name?
Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki? Is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
And good evening to everybody joining us on the Wild Talk Radio Network and onlineworldofwrestling.com. I am Alan Wojcik, as the ever popular intro that's been played on this show each and every week. I wanted to open this show with a happy note and say, hey, tomorrow's my birthday. Cool. We're going to do heavy metal music in honor of superstar Sean Davis of the Heartbreak Express, who will be joining us at 10 o'clock. And then not one, not two, not three, but four emails showed up reminding us that, yes, professional wrestlers are larger than life and they're superhero-like. And unfortunately, reality takes a step into our lives. So we'll address everything WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Libre USA, indies all around. But we've got three passings to mention. And then after that, we'll bring in one of our contributors, a very popular contributor. The first passing, if you're a fan of Wrestling at the Chase back in the day during the NWA's powerhouse days of Sam Mushnick, Lou Thesz, a lot of folks, the name Mickey Garagiola may mean something to you. To me, I only knew him because he's the brother of Hall of Fame catcher and announcer for Major League Baseball, Joe Garagiola. Mickey was the ring announcer, and Larry Mitziak, I'm sorry if I got his name wrong, I apologize, he was his sidekick on the Wrestling at the Chase, and was also a ring announcer for WWE house shows in St. Louis until they started bringing their own traveling group, most likely Howard Finkel or Mike McGurk or whoever. He passed away at the age of 89. And was a very loved figure in the city of St. Louis. I'm sure he will be missed. Person number two passed away. If the name Maniac Matt Bourne means anything to you, and we mentioned him last week when we referenced the passing of General Skander Akbar, who played Doink the Clown and other characters in his career, his dad, Anthony Osborne, who wrestled under the name of Tough Tony Osborne, passed away at his home at the age of 83. He was actually in poor health of late and passed away just as his son, Matt, was leaving for a flight to that. Tough Tony Bourne was an international star, mostly in the Pacific Northwest area, and was known as one of the all-time legends. He was part of a tag team with Lonnie Mane, who eventually became known as one of the Moondogs, Moondog Mane, and was probably one of the greatest in the history of that area. The pair held, this is pretty amazing to hear, forget territory, promotion, whatever. This guy has held the Pacific Northwest Tag Team Championships 11 times. He also had great success in Texas and was one of the most successful Americans to wrestle in Mexico. And we were like, okay, cool, we'll keep it that way. And then unfortunately we found out, if you're a fan of IWA Mid-South and Combat Zone Wrestling, this one is as big a shocker as Trent Acid passing away. Joseph Carl Bailey Jr., who you fans would know as J.C. Bailey, was found dead in his home at the age of 26. He is the namesake and son of promoter Joe Bailey and had been wrestling since 2001, originally trained by a very interesting group of people, Ian Rotten, Chris Hero, and Tracy Smothers. He specialized in the death matches, the high-flying style with the crazy spots. He was the first Combat Zone Ultraviolet Underground champion, had won the King of the Deathmatch tournament for IWA Mid-South. He also held the CZW tag belts with the late Chris Cash, was involved in several angles during the hot, white hot, IWA-CZW feud, and he actually spent some time in jail for theft and had returned to wrestling at the end of 2009, and this past June he actually won again the IWA Mid-South, tournament. And the saddest of them all is the reason that our contributor is here today. He is former NWA president, not just of one territory, but the entire realm. He is a very accomplished author with a best-selling book that is very loved on this show called Swimming with Piranhas, Surviving the Politics of Professional Wrestling. And if you live here in Florida on the Atlantic coast, every month he is involved in a meet and greet with WWE superstars or legends that we'll get him to mention in a few moments, usually with concurring with WWE pay-per-views. You can actually come out and meet the man who's about to join us, Howard Brody, joining us. And this is not the way I wanted to have you back on our show to talk about, unfortunately, the passing of a true women's pioneer. And I know that phrase gets used a lot, but Luna Vachon, who was found here in Port Richey, Florida, at her mom's residence, the age of 48, was known for working WWE, WCW, ECW, worked with Howard, and we'll address that in a second. Was found in her mother's house here in Port Richey. She'd actually lost a lot of her possessions in a home fire earlier this year. And the daughter of the Butcher Vachon, the niece of Mad Dog and Lillian Vachon. And if you don't know who they are, you need to surrender your membership in the wrestling community because they are one of the biggest and legendary families in professional wrestling. And the first question, obviously, Howard, is your initial reaction when you got a phone call, email, or anything about Luna.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show, and I too wish it was under different circumstances. Before I get into that, you mentioned St. Louis Wrestling, and actually the gentleman you were trying to think of his name is, it's actually Larry Matisik. Is the correct pronunciation.
Okay,
of
thank
the
you.
And outstanding author, by the way. Well, let's see. Friday afternoon, I was just probably doing what everybody's doing. You know, I was working. I get a phone call on my cell from a guy by the name of Bruce Owen. Bruce had been still did some refereeing down this side of the state for CCW and been around the Indies for years, and Bruce actually used to be a referee back in the old NWA territory. And, you know, called me and told me about Luna. And I had actually just got together with Bruce the Saturday before at a local show, at a CCW show. And we were talking about DT, the Gangrel, Luna, and some of the crazy stories. You know, it was the first time I got a chance to get together with Bruce since I'm moving back to Florida. So, you know, we were doing old catch-up. And when he called, you know, my first reaction was that he was pulling a rib on me, you know, and then obviously, you know, it was the very sad reality of what set in, you know, it was a million phone calls. I actually went on Facebook, and within about 3 minutes of logging on, I had about 20 different people pinging me, asking me if I knew anything, because they knew at one time, you know, and it was a long time ago, I was very close with Luna, you know, and it was just a very sad situation, and you know, I was shocked. I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think, you know, when you start getting into the numbers of people passed away in the business, you know, nothing really surprises you anymore. And especially, you know, when all the reports started coming out, you know, but, you know, regardless of what the circumstances were, you know, she was, the people that really knew her, that knew how she could be when she was at her nicest, you know, she had a heart as big as the Grand Canyon, and, you know, she had an absolute love for the wrestling business. She wanted to be a pro wrestler from the time she was a little kid. You know, she loved the fact that she was able to make her own mark in the business. She loved the fact, you know, that she they say some people march to the beat of their own drum, and she was certainly one of those people. You know, she battled, manic depression. She battled, bipolarism. And, you know, she really excelled at the top of her game. You know, she was a game changer. She changed the way a lot of people, you know, perceived Lady Wrestling to be. You know, she started out as one of the disciples for Kevin Sullivan. And when we worked together, you know, her goal was to change the perception of the way people thought about ladies wrestling.
Exactly.
So it was just very, very sad to hear, you know, and the business and more importantly, her friends really lost a great friend.
Man, I'm being 100% honest. I was actually fortunate to have met her a couple times here in the Newport Richey area when a promotion called ACW, American Combat Wrestling, was here, and also the FCW, the WWE Developmental, and her and some biker friends came in one night and just going like, what the heck is that commotion over there? And all of a sudden, I heard that gravelly voice. I'm like, I know that voice. Why do I know that voice? And sure enough, there she was. I was like, holy cow. The majority of fans will remember her during her WWE run as not only a competitor, but also tag team and valet manager. She changed that a lot, coming out with Bam Bam Bigelow. And, of course, her affiliation with David Heath, Gangrel. Talk about her working for you, because if people haven't read your book, and if you haven't, where the heck have you been? Buy it. Go to howardbrody.com, buy it. It's one of the best books you'll ever read on wrestling.
Thank you.
What was your initial dealings with her? Because I know you and Hiromatsuda and other people, in addition to the NWA, you also dealt in promoting women's wrestling. What were your initial...
my first foray into promoting was doing a group called the Wild Women of Wrestling. My partner was Craig Cohen. He's a guy down here in South Florida. Craig and I went to get, you know, he has actually worked a little bit with the old Florida office, helping Danny Miller. Danny Miller used to be like the local promoter. Craig would help Danny, you know, promote, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you know, down this neck of the woods. And I was working for a magazine at the time, and I used to go to the shows, and we became friends, and, you know, kind of as the territory was dying, we decided we wanted to run wrestling shows. And the thing about it was some of our friends, guys like Rusty Brooks, Malenka, they were all running men's shows, and we didn't want to step on their toes, so we kind of came up with an idea, what if we were to do an all-girls promotion? And that's kind of how we got involved, and Malenka had a couple girls training, and there were some girls in Georgia, and basically, you know, one night, Craig and I was actually helping the... not the old Florida office, but there was another promotion after the Florida office closed down. There was basically Dusty Rhodes, Gordon Solian, and Steve Krohn. They had a group called the Professional Wrestling Federation. They were doing a show at the Night Center. Gordon asked me to help them out with some promotion. So I did. I went down actually to meet Dusty that night, which is a whole other story. Oh, I laughed.
And it's in your book. That promotion is in your book. That was just, y'all just hitting the floor going, holy cow.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But there was a gal on the club named Penelope Paradise, and Penelope had met Craig at one of Malenko's schools. So he was going down there to speak to Penelope about joining up with our women's group. So I was there. So we were both there, even though we were doing business together. And Dick Slater was wrestling on the card that night, and Dick Slater's girlfriend at the time was Nina Vachon. So Luna was actually back in Japan. She had injured her leg while in Japan. And she was backstage, and Craig and I started talking, and it's like, you know, maybe we should get Luna involved. You know, she's been around the business her whole life. You know, let's engage and see what she thinks of our idea. So after Penelope's match, Penelope introduces us to Luna. And that was like the spark of like, you know, let's get her involved and become the booker of our organization. And she did. And really, from that point forward, is when I started working really closely with her, because, you know, I already had aspirations of, even though we were doing just, you know, little tiny spot shows, I already had aspirations in my mind to start doing television, you know, so I got to the point where, you know, basically Luna was, I had a little office in my condo where I was, and Luna had used to come over every day and work with me in my office out of my house. So it was pretty fascinating, you know, that I really got a chance to meet the real person, not the gimmick character Luna. I got to meet, you know, Trudy, Gertrude Hurd, you know, was her real name at the time. I found out, you know, everybody used to think that she and Slater were married. They weren't. They were just kind of boyfriends and girlfriends. So it was a real treat because I got to, and that's really how I like to think of her best, because that's the time I really got to know who she was as a person and really find out what kind of a wonderful person she really was. She cared so much about the business and so much about, you know, her friends that were wrestlers and just so much about changing the perception of what, you know, women's wrestling was at the time. We're talking about 1989 here. So mm-hmm. mud wrestling for women was like the big thing. And then they had GLOW. And what Luna wanted to do was say, you know what, you know, yeah, there's the good thing about, you know, the Fabulous Moolah, and, you know, and they just had the Bakken wrestling connection with, Wendy Richter and Cindy Lauper. And Luna was kind of like, you know, wouldn't it be really cool if we can make women's wrestling here in the United States like it is in Japan? And that's what she really wanted to do. And I love that idea, because the Japanese women wrestling to me was like better than anything you could see in the States. And, you know, that was kind of like what our goal was at the beginning, you know, but we had to, you know, tread slowly. But, you know, she came on board because she wanted to change the way wrestling was perceived for the women. You know, so in that regard, she was, you know, she was willing to change the game for it and do what she could to make that happen.
Now, when you first met her, did she have the look that fans would know her
the
sides closed and the veins and everything?
No. She had this, like, little blonde curly afro. Her hair wasn't even very long. She was, you know, a lot thinner. She didn't have her implants in at that point yet. They came a couple of years later. You know, it was a much different... You know, she had already done the Lock and Luna gimmick. I mean, the Daughters of Darkness, you know, where half her head was shaved. That's where, you know, she, her kind of claim to fame was. But at that point, you know, if you didn't know who she was, you know, she just looked like just another gal, you know, with a cast on her leg. You know, that was it. You know, she, you know, when we started running shows, of course, she was doing the gimmick mode, but it wasn't like the real Angel was nothing like the character Luna.
After I had moved from Florida to Nashville and I met Chris Champion, who was a Florida mainstay in the late 80s and was a part of the New Breed tag team with Sean Royal, I always joked with him and said, you have the ladies are always all over you. So is there ever one that you were nervous around? I said, yeah, Luna, because she looked so sweet and innocent. As soon as she hit that curtain, man, it was like, oh my God.
Well, remember, she grew up in the business when kayfabe was so guarded. You know, you never broke kayfabe in front of a mark. You never broke it in front of the fans. You know, you'd stay in character 24/7, 365. I mean, there are probably fans, some of the older fans in Florida will tell you, you know, when Kevin Sullivan and Mark Lewin were at their height, they would, you know, they would go into the 7-Elevens dressed in gimmick and stuff and scare the hell out of people. You know, Luna was like that. When she was around the fans, Luna was on. It wasn't Trudy. It wasn't Angel. You know, Angel was a nickname that the Fabulous Moolah gave her. I think it was more in contradiction to what she could be, right? But, you know, she was always on. When it came to the fans and when it came to being seen in public, if you didn't know her, she was on all the time, because that's the way she grew up. That's the way she was taught, is you never break character, no matter what. So a lot of people were, even though they might have thought that they knew her, they didn't know her, because she would never let that guard down. She had to be really, really, really comfortable with you and really, really, really get to know you and know who you are before she would let her guard down. and who let you inside that circle. That's kind of the, you know, that's, that was real old school. You know, that was real, real super old school.
He is Howard Brody, the former president of the National Wrestling Alliance and author of Swimming with Piranhas, Surviving the Politics of Professional Wrestling. Before we let you go, one of our other contributors to the show from Wrestle Talk Radio, the Spug Guy, S-P-U-G, not S-M-U-G, is Tatanka Christendom, wanted to join us here, and he, as soon as I told him, I said, he's like, Howard Brody's coming on again? I said, yeah. He's like, is somebody else going to be there taking 20 minutes of his time? I said, no. I said, good. I got a couple NWA questions I'd like to ask him. So,
yeah,
good
sure.
evening, Spug. The floor is yours.
I do, and I've been trying to figure this out all day. Somebody at work asked me this, and I couldn't remember, and it's been driving me nuts. What are the flags on the NWA World Heavyweight title?
Oh, well, of course, there's the United States belt, there's the Japan belt, there's Australia, and I don't remember, and the Canadian. Those are the four. And I think it's Australia and New Zealand, actually. But for some reason, they actually have the maple leaf flag, not the regular Canadian flag. It's like, I think it's like the Ontario flag or something like that. I remember somebody telling me about that. So,
okay.
Those are the four flags.
Now,
is that it? Is that the whole thing that you wanted to know?
No,
about?
No.
Google that.
No, I tried. I did. I Googled it, and I couldn't get anything.
All you had to do is just Google the belt of the NWA and probably come up.
I did, and the one that I got had the United States, Germany, Great Britain, Japan, Mexico, Australia, and Canada on it.
Yeah, well, I think there were only four on the original. I think. Maybe. I don't know. I know it was Australia, New Zealand, because that's who we had. I know it was Canada. I know it was the U.S., in Japan. And it would make sense to have Mexico because the Mexicans have a lot of the junior and middleweights, flyweight champions and all that. And the belt was originally made in Mexico, so that would make sense.
Wow, I didn't know that either. Do you mean the one that was used up until the Crockett's bought the big gold belt?
Yeah, something like that. I think the original design was created down in Mexico. They call it the Jack Briscoe belt. Which
oh,
is the
wow.
design they're currently using. The dome globe, whatever they call it.
Now, you've obviously spent some time as the president of the NWA and had your...
A little bit.
Had your fair share of dealing with the politics as per your book, Swimming with Piranhas. And as we're talking about Luna Vachon and her passing, are there any good rib stories that you could tell us that somebody got on Luna?
Or she got people.
They got
with.
On her? Well, she got
yeah.
people. As a matter of fact, I don't know. I actually told the story earlier tonight for somebody else who had me on their podcast or something. And you can hear all about it on my podcast on Thursday. No, I'm just kidding.
that was perfect.
Bravo.
Yeah, I set him up. He knocks him down. What do you want from me?
Luna had a hell of a sense of humor. She pulled ribs on different people. I was talking about she was like on tour someplace, and I think it was Heidi Lee Morgan. They ended up shaving her eyebrows off or something, and she like had to paint her eyebrows on like for the rest of the tour or something. But actually, there was a story I told about earlier tonight about a rib that Luna pulled on my former business partner, Craig. At the time we had done the Wild Limit of Wrestling, Luna, when we were starting to put television together, gets this whole folder of all these, I guess, pictures that she had collected of different talent and different things. And there was a gal by the name of Justice Howard on there. And I always remember the name because her last name was Howard, my first name was Howard. Well, Justice was a rather striking looking, very large, and very well endowed lady. When I looked at the picture, I was like, wow, you know, like, who's this? And, you know, she explains who she was, and I said, like, well, can she wrestle? It's like, no, she can't wrestle, she can't manage, you know, she was basically like an entertainer or something, somebody trying to, like, break in modeling or, you know, trying to work for Glow or something like that, but was never able to cut it. So Luna decides, you know, after talking to me, instead of throwing the thing out, we're going to send it to Craig. So she writes this long letter in like a little bit of a different handwriting than her own, encloses the photo, and the letter is a very descriptive letter to Craig about how she would do anything of a favorable situation to get involved in the wrestling business. Very descriptive. And
oh, God.
Instead of sending it from Fort Lauderdale, because he'd know it's a rip, Luna picked up the phone and called Velvet McIntyre up in British Columbia, I think is where she was, because not up in Vancouver, because she had talked to Velvet about coming down to do TV, but Velvet couldn't leave at the time, she didn't have a passport or something. And she said, listen, I'm going to send you an envelope, I just want you to mail it from Vancouver with a Canadian address. And Velvet's like, sure, what's, you know, it's like, oh, we're just pulling a loop on somebody. So Craig, about 10 days later, gets a big envelope in the mail with all these very descriptive letter and all these pictures of this woman, you know, breast hanging out and all this stuff, and has a Canadian postmark on it, Canadian postage and everything, and he's calling me up, oh, Howard, oh, my God, and he's reading me the letter. He goes, can you believe this? You know, we kind of let it go for a while, then we finally clued him in. You know, and it was very, it was kind of like subtle to him because it was like a private rib, but it was something like, you know, you get over on somebody because you, it's something they would never suspect, right? And then it was kind of like her sense of humor. She had this very subtle sense of humor, and it was that type of humor that she had, and I loved it. It was great. So she could, when she wanted to, she would really brighten up the room with her humor. She was good.
Well, as I said earlier, this is not the way I wanted you on the show, but I'm very happy to have had you here. As I said, and I'm not being a shill, I don't shill stuff I hate. If you get a chance to go to your local bookstore, Amazon.com, even HowardBrody.com, you need to get a copy of Swimming with Piranhas, Surviving the Politics of Professional Wrestling. Before you go ahead and go, we mentioned that on thanks to you, if you're in the South Florida area, you get to meet WWE legends the weekends of pay-per-views. Talk about how that came to be and where is this?
Yeah. I'll tell you in a second. I just want to say one last thing about Luna. You know, it's a very sad situation, and as more information comes out, it gets more depressing and really sad, obviously. But, you know, I think this time, especially with the announcement by her family saying that, you know, they're not going to have a public funeral, you know, because her mom wouldn't be able to take it, and I can understand that. I think the people that just know her or supported her or liked her, you know, just to celebrate her life, you know, watch.
Absolutely.
Watch some of her interviews, watch some of her matches, and keep it in mind when you're thinking about wrestling, you know? I think that's the best way to celebrate somebody's life is to look at their work and think of them in a very positive light. Excuse me. That said, you're talking about WWE pay-per-views. There is the old Hollywood Greyhound track down in Hallandale, Florida, is now called the Mardi Gras Casino. And they contracted with the WWE to show all the pay-per-views, you know, every month. So what they wanted to do, I mentioned Craig earlier, you know, my former business partner. Craig works with the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital these days, is primarily one of their corporate fundraisers, does some great work for a phenomenal charity. He was working with them, and the gal over there was a big wrestling fan, and Craig says, well, you know, I got to introduce you to my friend Howard. So we made the introduction, and they said, you know what, we'd like to bring in some of the wrestlers when we do these pay-per-views. You know, we're going to try it one time. So they did it with WrestleMania, and we got the Warlord to come in. And it was really going to be just a one-time thing. You know, so I helped them get somebody, get the Warlord who came in. People had a great time. They came in, they took their picture with them, and they don't charge anything. So there's no charge for photos, no charge for autographs, nothing. because, you know, basically it picks up the bill. You know, the only thing you do is you go there, you want something to eat, you pay for what you eat or you drink. So, he came down, and they liked it, so they said, we want to be with them next month. Alright. So, now we go ahead and get somebody. And then they said, you know what, we're signing the contract with WWE, we're going to do all the pay-per-views here, would you bring, help us bring somebody every month? So it's like, okay, you know, so it kind of keeps my little pinky toe in the water a little bit. You know, and I get to pick up the phone and make a couple of phone calls and, you know, make the arrangements to bring people in. And that's kind of how it started. So, we had the Warlord, we had Brian Blair, we had Nasty Boys, we had D'Lo Brown down there last time, and we had Typhoon down there a couple months ago. And for September 19th, next WWE pay-per-view, we're going to have Terry Reynolds coming down.
Oh, wow.
So Terry will be down in this neck of the woods signing autographs, taking pictures. And for October, looks like we have Headbanger Mosh, who was down this way. So
yeah, he was on the CCW recently, Bruno and Tilly mentioned.
And that's why I got a chance to talk to him, and he's like, oh, and he's a natural for, you know, former WWE Tag Team Champion, former NWA Tag Team Champion. And a really good guy. So, you know, every month we'll have somebody else down there. So, by all means, if you happen to be listening to the show and you're in the South Florida area, there's no charge that you actually see the WWE pay-per-view for free. You can get to meet a wrestler and get their autograph, get your picture taken with them for free. The only thing you're going to have to do is buy your own drinks and food, because they don't provide that.
All righty. Thank you so much for taking time. I know this has been a real difficult thing for you and everyone that was friends with Luna. But.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, it's a time to celebrate her life. And actually, I might as well go ahead and make a comment here, and I'll keep you updated on this. Because there's not going to be a public funeral, a couple of the guys down here, we're going to have a get-together at some point next week, probably either next Tuesday or Wednesday night, somewhere in the South Florida area, you know, basically for Luna's friends to get together, and we're going to talk about her life and, you know, some of the funny stories that she had, and some of the ones that cannot be told here.
We're PG-rated.
It won't be on a Thursday podcast, but if you're there live, you'll be able to hear it, and it'll be, it'll be fun. You know, because that's what we want to do. We want to remember our friend. The good things, you know. There's plenty of bad things, and the thing about people should realize about all these professional wrestlers, and any of the ones that you've mentioned earlier tonight who unfortunately passed away, and you know, we just lost Ted Allen and Skander Akbar, right? And all of these people have one thing in common. You know, they're all human, so you're going to have their faults, you're going to have their frailties, you're going to have their hopes, their ambitions, their dreams. You know, this is what makes people people, and you know, people should never lose sight of that. And yeah, you know what? Everybody has their own little faults, but when you're a friend of somebody, you know the measure of friendship is not when they're sitting high on the horse. It's how well you can stick beside them when they need that shoulder to lean on. And that's what I will say about that. Alan, I appreciate you having me on your show tonight, and thanks for having me.
Alrighty, on the other side of the break, we will address the put up your mini-me quotes hiatus of Lucha Libre USA. We'll address some Ring of Honor news, Jake the Snake Roberts in the news again, and we'll try to keep it upbeat here. It's a hairband metal night in honor of superstar Sean Davis. He'll be joining us at 10 o'clock. Online World of Wrestling Radio, take us out with some 80s Dawkins.
Baby, you know. have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Brett Darian,
Candice McDowell,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman,
and tomorrow,
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them, instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
This is Lucha Libre USA superstar RJ Brewer from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Online World Wrestling Radio with Alan, Alan something. I'm not sure what his last name is. Watch, whatever.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Productions is a great place to go each and every night. There's something on here every night. At the end of the shindig, we'll mention it. We're going to reset. Tonight, we do have, at the 10 o'clock hour, he is one half of one of the best tag teams in the world. He is normally joined by Fabulous Phil Davis. But tonight, superstar Sean Davis, who's been a guest of this show before I arrived, will be joining us to talk about worldwide promotions, all that fun stuff, that 17 pages of one message board talked about, and the company's not even around. I'm Alan Wojcik, joined by the Spug Guy from Russell Talk Radio. Mace possibly be joining us later on, and it was apropos that our producer, Sir Rockin, who, if you ever want to join the show, you can Skype Sir Rockin. It's two words, or you can call 877-588-9877, option one. It was real weird to tune in to Lucha Libre USA the other day. And I'm like, cool, pop it on. First off, it was on at 12 noon on a Saturday. So if you went Friday night, they're like, we're doing a Dudesons marathon. I don't even know what the hell the Dudesons are.
It's a Jackass ripoff.
I had to go to MTV website to look it up, and they're Swedish or Finnish or there's something European. And I'm going, okay, cool. And if you're a Facebook friend of Lucha Libre USA, then you know that they moved tonight. A day, literally. So the show opens up, and here's Lalo and the other Nigel. It's Nigel Sherrod. It's Lalo Gonzalez and Nigel Sherrod, and they go, welcome to the season finale of Lucha Libre USA. And I nearly spit my sandwich that I was eating across the room. My 8-year-old's looking at me going, Daddy, did he just say season finale? And I said, uh-huh. It's like, they only had 7 episodes. I go, uh-huh. It's like, so I don't get to watch RJ? And I go, no. So no more Marco? No. It's like, she's like, oh, man, my daughter's been charging off. They ran head-to-head with Ring of Honor this weekend, and apparently, according to what Lucha Libre USA was saying, they pulled in 1,000. Due to a couple of people I know work for Ring of Honor, who remain nameless, they said, sorry, I had a cough there. They're like, no, that couldn't have happened. ROH did great in their area. They had some good 2 nights of wonderful shows. And MTV2 came out with a note basically saying that they're going on hiatus. Do your, like, if you're an Austin Powers fan, do your mini-me quotes that we're on hiatus. I'm sad. I'm really sad because I was digging this show. Spug knows it because he's like, I wish he'd shut up about that damn Lucha Libre thing. Unless he's
like
talking
it.
About the, unless they're talking about midgets, you and Mace are like, who cares, man? There's no midgets. I mean, we're going to get robbed.
Like,
no RJ Brewer. No RJ Brewer midgets. Okay, well, let's just talk in hypotheticals for a second. Let's say that this is not Wrestling Society X and it's going to get taken away. And we go with the story that's been put out there by several news sites, onlineworldofwrestling.com, you know, one of them, that there is going to be a retooling of the product, not the actual in-ring product, but more a cosmetic thing, because the event in Charlotte was actually supposed to be a TV tape, like they did a few weeks ago in Las Vegas when Carlitos debuted. That's what Carlito's going by, and we'll address Carlito in the next hour. RJ Brewer advanced in the heavyweight championship tournament, so he'll take on, believe it or not, one of our other guests, Marco Corleone. Charlie Malice will also be involved in that tournament if it ever gets going again, and he'll take on Liz Mark Jr. Carlito, under the name of Carlitos, minus the big poofy hair, minus the apple. I thought it was Primo. I thought it was his little brother going, who the heck's that? Oh, my God, that's Carlito Colon. Help the Puerto Rican Powers defeat Neutronic, El Oriental, and Tenebrios Jr., and there was some great stuff going on in this show. Poor Rebecca Reyes got married. It was like, what the heck? She got married to Pequeño Halloween. Just going, that woman looked awesome. What the heck?
Wait. She got married to Pequeño Halloween?
Yeah, she...
She got married to a midget?
Stay with me, because it gets fun. A couple weeks ago, and if you go on, I think MTV2.com, you can still find episodes or find your local torrent site, thanks to Ciroc, and I now know what the heck a torrent site is. Check out the last couple episodes. She was in town with some girlfriends in Vegas, and they went drinking. The next thing you know, she wakes up with the Pequeño Halloween makeup on and looks at herself in a mirror in a bathroom and freaks out. Ah! Sees the ring, screams again. In comes Pequeño. Honey! She more freaking out. Apparently, her She got drunk with Pequeno Halloween and a couple of the other guys, like Il Oriental and Tenelios Jr. They got her drunk. She got married. Who knew?
So they pulled a WWE.
Yeah, but I don't remember anybody in WWE getting married to a midget, did they?
No, but Triple H.
I remember. Yeah, remember? I know. It also happened in Vegas.
Remember. Stephanie McMahon had her bachelor party during the test angle. Bachelor
That's
party.
That's right.
In Vegas.
Absolutely.
And Triple H took her out, got married to her at one of those fly-by-night chapels.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I win.
Hey, the story going around from all the sites is the retooling of this is they want, instead of touring like they're doing, and they still have a date, according to the website, still September 9th, Whataburger Field, Corpus Christi, Texas, is going to be another event. You can still get tickets through Whataburger Field, whataburgerfield.com, or 361-561-4655, and that'll be going on. It looks like the retooling of this promotion, SPUG, is they're going to do what TNA does, which is film TV in a smaller, controlled environment, possibly California. You said you were a fan of it. Is that a problem?
I don't like that idea at all.
Okay, well, keep talk MTV into keeping this show on, because it appears this is not Lucha Libre's call, because they had the Vegas event, from what we heard reports, Thomas Mack Center seats anywhere from 10 to 16,000, depending on the event. They only pulled 2,500, 2,000, depending on your number. So the floor is yours. Save Lucha Libre. What do you do to retool this? Do you retool it? Do you just keep the formula they've been doing? Tour, tape TV.
Follow the ECW business model. And I know this sounds weird to say, but seriously, follow the ECW business model. That's all you got to do. Go the way Paul Heyman did. You film in small venues. Small venues. Go to 2,000-seat arenas, tops, like the Agora, the Hammerstein Ballroom, places like that. You have to allow time for your product to build. And I don't care if it was on MTV, and I don't care if MTV reaches how many millions of homes. Not all of those millions of people are wrestling fans. And second of all, it wasn't even on only the actual MTV, it was on MTV2. And not everybody gets that. Even today. So you have to allow time to build your product. Just because some executive wearing a tie in a boardroom in New York is not seeing the numbers he wants doesn't mean the product's not getting over. You have to. Wrestling is not some fly-by-night boy band music video that you can slap four Abercrombie douchebags together, throw a Puff Daddy beat into it, and then all overnight it's platinum-selling album because preteen girls are all over it. Wrestling's a completely different animal.
And that's a shame, because you do have, if you like me, you're like Spug, but you've actually watched the show, and according to the ratings, unfortunately not a lot are, there's some real good talent on this show. RG Brewer, very good talent. They added Brittany Savage. Brooke Carter from WSU is his girlfriend, which felt a little like Evan Matt Sydal and Lizzie Valentine and Wrestling Society X, but hey, I'm not writing it. Marco Corleone, Liz Mark Jr. here, you have Relic, who's Johnny Stromboli involved. You've got a lot of if MTV had put this on the main network like they did with Wrestling Society X, are we even having this conversation? Or is it,
yes.
Or is it the placement? So even if it's on regular MTV, still at Friday 10 o'clock, we're having this conversation.
How long did Wrestling Society X go?
They made it, I think, 13 episodes.
Okay,
I could be off on that.
So,
and that's the way it was filmed. It was filmed in 13, it was filmed in half hour blocks, heavily ridiculously edited down. Unlike this show, maybe that, I don't know. It's one of those, it's hard to speculate. I wish we were in the MTV2 offices. Emails to Lucha Libre USA from this show went unanswered, so I'm not 100% sure what's going on.
I tell
and
you what.
That sucks.
I tell you what. The smartest thing. You want to be smart about this for 1 second? I know we're going to talk TNA the next hour.
Sure.
But if TNA really wants to be smart, if WWE's dropping this Lucha Libre USA thing, find a way to incorporate it into the TNA umbrella. Forget this reaction show or whatever they have going on right now on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to Skype. Or not Skype, but talk to Spike. Be like, hey, listen, we got this other program. We'll throw it on after us. And if Spike's willing to give it the time, because they're obviously willing to give TNA an extra hour, you can have your TNA, and then you have this Lucha Libre USA stuff. I guarantee you people start watching. Guarantee you.
Oh, I wish it was that way. Who knows?
I do too. Because, listen, you and I are both big wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
And we've watched wrestling for quite a long time. And the one thing that has always interested me about wrestling is the different styles in different countries. Wrestling in Canada is completely different than wrestling in Japan or Mexico or Great Britain or Germany. And it's always cool to see those styles. And WWE had a golden opportunity to show the world this style and what this Lucha Libre USA stuff is. And unfortunately, because some bigwig in New York isn't seeing the results he wants after 7 episodes, it's going to get taken away.
It almost sounds like the conversations that Vince Russo outlined in his book, saying, you know, WCW expected me to walk in the door and the rating was going to go from a 1.5 to a 9.2 overnight. And I guess, as you said, they're expecting, hey, it's got our MTV music's on it. We don't play videos anymore unless from 3 to 6 a.m. on our network. And that way we can have Teen Mom and True Life and stuff like that. Before we go to break, I wanted to bring this up. Mentioned the name, the legend of Jake the Snake Roberts, former WWE superstar. I hope this is 100% true, but apparently at a C2 wrestling event in New York over the weekend, he announced he is retiring.
It is 100% true.
Yeah, he announced that due to the loss of his dad this past June, he had stated the reason he even entered the wrestling business was to make his father proud. And you can definitely find the WWE DVD documentary that they did on Jake Roberts. It's an awesome grab if you ever get a chance to find it. And he thanked all the fans for their support over his 35-year career, announced he was basically no longer able to compete due to health reasons. And that is the main reason why he retired. And we wish him nothing but the best from this show, because he was, for the 80s, he was one of the top heels that you could ever imagine coming into your door. And you're like, holy crap, it's Jake Roberts and a big frickin' snake. On that note, we are going to take our next scheduled break, and coming up after it, we will be talking about the Heartbreak Express, which, if you've never seen them, definitely Google search them, YouTube search them. Sean, I believe, has a YouTube page that's gotten over hundreds of thousands of hits. While we're on break, go to onlineworldwrestling.com and check out the profile of superstar Sean Davis and also Fabulous Phil Davis. Before we go to the break, I've been asked by the folks at our network to mention that if you go to OWW Genesis, courtesy of the OWW tournaments, there'll be a new feature called Face Off that'll bring two commonly attributed wrestlers and tag teams from different eras as they square off in discussion based fantasy matches. It is a reply only forum, and the threads are controlled by the tournament staff only. Currently in the threads, Bruno Sammartino versus Bill Goldberg, Motor City Machine Guns versus the Rockers, and the American Dragon Brian Danielson versus the Iceman Dean Malenko. Hit us up, 888-3... Oh, I almost did it! Almost gave the old number. 877-588-9877, option 1, or Skype Sir Rock. And after the break, good Lord willing, Superstar Sean Davis. Maverick says he hates this band. I don't care, dude. Play me some rock, baby! I'll tell you why.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want, located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Do you live in the Philadelphia, Washington, Cross, New Jersey area and are in need of a licensed massage therapist? Then you need Johnny Cashmere. He specializes in a full-body relaxation experience in 30, 50, and 90-minute sessions. Deep tissue and pressure point treatment are also available. His office hours are 9 to 5 p.m., Monday to Friday. To make an appointment, email backseatjk@aim.com. Johnny also offers one-on-one yoga and meditation sessions. What are you waiting for? Set up your appointment to relaxation now.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
That had 17 frickin' pages of one message board. Not just like a quick little itty bitty thread. 17 frickin' pages. He's turned down everybody for interviews. But Online World of Wrestling promised him, A, we will play hair bands for you. And he said, I will think about it. And I said, okay. And I said, we'll let you talk hair bands. And he said, ooh, wait a minute, that's interesting. And then I said, and we'll get you tickets. And he's like, I'm there. And I was like, I'm kidding, too late, you committed. I'm Alan Wojcik of Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're going to be joined, hopefully, by Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio. Spug from Wrestle Talk Radio is here. If you're in our chat room, get some questions ready, because not only is he one half of one of the best tag teams in wrestling, the Heartbreak Express, with his partner, Fabulous Phil Davis. He is the most popular man on the net because of a little startup company that we'll address in a couple minutes. We welcome back to the show superstar Sean Davis.
Oh, man, I'm glad to be here. I'm strutting around my bedroom right now as you're playing my theme song, Cherry Pie, man, getting all psyched up and ready to go.
And is Baby Doll in the Perfect 10 got the hot tub ready for after this interview, or is she not around tonight?
Well, you know, Baby Doll, you know, let's just say that I wore her out, if you will, man. She retired from Heartbreak Enterprises, and she couldn't hang any longer. But,
damn.
You know, we always have plenty of hot days wanting to come on board the Heartbreak Express. There's never a dull moment around these parts.
All right. Well, we're gonna make people.
I do mean these parts.
Yeah, and we're gonna make people wait a minute or two. I don't care what they say, because I did this when I had Steve Corino on. They were like, "Yeah, we want to talk to Steve." Bull crap. We're talking baseball. Being a music nut that you are, because at a lot of shows I'll sit and we won't even talk wrestling. You and me. Best concert you personally have ever been to in your entire life, if you can narrow it to one or five, if you can narrow it to a couple.
It's really hard, man, because I go to a lot of concerts. But I would say, and this is gonna seem off the wall, but probably my absolute personal favorite concert I ever went to was 2 years ago. I saw Extreme, and this is not a joke. I saw Extreme at the House of Blues in Orlando. I was right up against the stage. After the show was over, I got to party with the band. And that was the best concert I ever went to in my life. I freaking love Extreme. They kicked ass all night. They played almost a three-hour set. They tore it up, played all their old stuff. They went through the entire Porno Graffiti album, and it was phenomenal. And I think, I don't know, it was just a great all-around experience. That was probably my favorite concert, but, you know, I've seen Kiss like 20 times. They're my all-time favorite band, so... You know, I've seen Van Halen about a dozen times, all different lineups, and Motley Crue I've seen probably a dozen times. Poison I've seen like 30 times, and most of those have been by accident. I do like Poison, but it seems like they're always playing with another group I'm going to see. So, like, the last time I saw Poison, I'm like, man, you know, this is great and all, but I think I've seen Poison enough times at this point.
Have you ever watched, since you're a Poison fan, being you are a ladies' man yourself, have you tuned in to either season of Brett's Rock of Love show, or are you like, I can't stand that stuff, it looks stupid?
Oh, God, I you know, it's like the fingernails on the chalkboard with me, those damn shows, man, I just can't stand them, but, you know, good for Brett, whatever, you know?
Before we get into the big topic that everybody wanted to ask, radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com got this email question about 20 times, and actually before you even came on, Jersey Girl, one of the folks in our Wild Talk Radio chat room, brought it up. She said, if you have Sean on, I would like to hear if he can radio size it down, what happened with him, Nick Fame, and Fabulous Phil Davis when they went to Panama.
All right, well, what happened was, it was our second tour of Panama. The first tour went excellent. The second tour was going well. This is how it goes when you go to countries of Central America for wrestling. It doesn't matter if it's on the independent level, they treat it like it is the major leagues. It's like the World Series when Americans go over there, you know? The Heartbreak Express came to town. It was a big deal. And I'm not just putting ourselves over it. It was a big deal. I mean, there were press waiting for us at the airport. I mean, we immediately got shuttled to a local restaurant where they had a press conference like you see with, a championship boxing fight going on where they've got every photographer, TV station in the country is right there in your face asking you all these questions through interpreters. It's insane. And we basically hadn't slept the night before. We took the flight over. They get us, they pick us up at the airport. I guess the press is there. And we immediately start on a press junk. We go to this press conference first at this restaurant. Then they took us to three different radio stations in a row. Then they took us to a television station. Then they took us to another television station. And then they took us to a third television station. So we've made, like, in the course of, like, 5 or 6 hours, we've made, like, 3 or 4 radio appearances, 3 TV appearances. This is going on TV appearance 4 now. And at this point, we are just in outer space, man. We hadn't slept the night before. And they hadn't taken us anywhere to eat. Like, we were at the first press conference was at a damn restaurant, and we couldn't even get a damn bite of food because of all the chaos going on. But anyways, it was the last television station, the last television deal we had to do before we were going to be free for the day. We were able to go eat and relax and everything. And we were just kind of, like, in really bad moods and just like, let's get this over with. We had no idea the show we were going on was, like, the top-rated show, not just in Panama, but all of Central America. It was like the Central America version of, they compared it to the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. That was the level of this show. It was the highest watched primetime television show in Central America. And they didn't prep us for that at all going out. We just went out and we go walking out and we're in this huge sound stage with a television audience and, you know, the host of a band, a live band, just like on the Tonight Show, and they bring us out and they start asking us questions, you know, about, and the promoter told us we were actually in town to do a flag versus flag match against the top local Panamanian tag team. So of course we were playing it up being the Americans, we're gonna heal it up a bit. And the host of the show hands us these Panamanian flags, you know, and you know, being in being irritated like we were, and being the Heartbreak Express, man, we weren't thinking. We were just like, what the hell? We grabbed the microphone out of the announcer's hand. We shoved them out of the way. I started doing a promo. While we did that, we took the flags. We threw them on the stage. We stomped on them and we kicked them and did our promo and threw down the microphone and roughed up the stage a little bit. Then we stormed off thinking, man, we did a great job. We're going to have a packed out house tomorrow night. Just not using our freaking heads at all, that we're in a totally different world here, you know. The first sign that something was wrong was the producer of the show. This lady comes up to us and is screaming at us in Spanish. She is tearing us apart in Spanish. We're like, and of course Phil, being a smart ass, is like, go, why don't you go back to my hotel room and clean up my room for me, you know. Be a total smile. And when I, you know, we're like, well, what the hell is her problem? And then we had three or four other people come up to us and start screaming at us. And we're like, man, these people are really uptight around here. You know, they realize, you know, with the Heartbreak Express, this is what we do, you know? Well, we got back to the hotel, man, and, you know, the promoter of the show came to us. He's like, you know, we got big problems. You know, the police are out to arrest you guys. It's a major crime in this country to decimate the flag. They don't understand that you guys are in character. There are people, all the radio stations had people calling up demanding that we be flogged in the streets. It got so bad that the president of the country, the president of Panama, held a press conference to address the country and tell them that, you know, these actions wouldn't be tolerated and that we were going to be punished. We were held in house arrest at the hotel. Luckily, they didn't take us to prison. The promoter was able to work something out that they didn't actually take us to prison, but we were held in house arrest at the hotel. Luckily, the U.S. Embassy got involved, and, when we got on the plane and we were heading back to the United States, there was no happier, more relieved three Americans you've ever seen in your life than Phil and Nick and I were, you know. And poor Nick, this was his first time ever out of the country on a wrestling trip, and here he almost ends up in a Panamanian prison, you know.
And that was a good night for you guys.
Oh, my God. You know, I've got the newspapers here, man. They're my prized position. We were on the front page of the national newspapers the next day, man. It was crazy.
Now, for fans that have never seen you guys, and we gave it out, he has a YouTube page that you can go and look up. You can even just type in Heartbreak Express in YouTube, and tons and tons of stuff will show up. Explain the feel and the look of the team. Because if you've never seen, I mean, he sounds like a real nice guy on the phone and everything. Thank God he's not going to scream and blow out our sound equipment like he's done at a few FIP events to me and Sal. Take us through the creation of the team, the look, and the concept. Because you're not a traditional, you know, girl, we're going to kill you tag team.
No, I mean, Phil and I are very throwback. You know, we idolize the Midnight Express, Fabulous Freebirds. We purposefully went out and did a very flamboyant, look. And, I personally, it's just the way wrestling is done today is everybody wants to be the tough guy. Every guy that plays a heel I'm not trying to cut down anybody, criticize anybody, but I want to say 90% of the guys out there that play heel have no idea what being a heel is about. They want to be the tough guy. They want to be the badasses. You know, the classic heels were always the guys that were not the toughest guy. They were not the guy that was going to beat your ass in the bar. They were generally the guy that was going to do what they had to do to win the match and whatever sneaky way they had to do it. And, you know, that's what, you know, the Heartbreak Express, man, we're not the toughest guys in the world. We're not, you know, Phil's very muscular. I'm not, you know.
I mean, I'm 350 pounds. I can hold my own in a fight, but I definitely don't look like, you know, one of the Road Warriors here, you know. And, you know, we go with the bleach blonde hair and the pink and purple tights and the boas and anything that's flamboyant and colorful. You know, we want to be the most colorful thing you've ever seen. When we come out, we want you to have to put sunglasses on because we're going to blind you. And that's always been our you know, our desire is to be the most colorful thing you're going to see on any show that we're on. We want to be the most memorable act. Every night we want the people to go home and say, oh man, those guys were doing some awesome flips. Those guys were killing each other, blah, blah. But man, those Heartbreak Express guys, those guys were entertaining as hell. Those guys are the ones that, you know, we remember, man. I want to see those guys again, you know. And that's what it's all about, man. This is entertainment. It's a sport, but it's entertainment at the same time. And, you know, guys got to understand that this isn't about your ego. Guys go out there, everybody wants to be the badass. They don't want to be the heel that cowers and that's sneaky and that has to do the underhanded things to win. But that's what being a heel is all about. That's what, you know, that's what this business is all about. And, but guys don't understand that. Guys come into the business and they, you know, it's all about their ego and whatever. They don't understand about doing business. You know, but I could preach all night about that, man. So I'm not gonna talk any more about that. But yeah, that's the Heartbreak Express, man. We're blinding to your eyes, you know, but I think we put on a hell of a show every time we go out there. You know, we've wrestled all over the world. We've worked all the big promotions in the world, you know. Ring of Honor, we've done 7 times, you know, and we were like the antithesis of Ring of Honor. And if we could survive those shows and come on top, those are some of my proudest moments. To say that we've gone into New Jersey and Philadelphia and places like that and be able to get out of there alive doing the kind of style that we do, man. And I'm proud of that, you know. I'm very proud of that.
So would you say that the Heartbreak Express drew the inspiration for their gimmick and their look from the mean streets of San Francisco?
Hey, now.
I don't know about that. You know, I've been to San Francisco. I didn't think the streets were that mean, personally. I don't know. But
well, one of the teams that always came to my mind the first times that I saw you guys, be it either IPW Hardcore or NWA Florida, the inspiration that I physically saw was, as you mentioned, the Midnights. I also witnessed a bit of Fabulous Freebirds, a little bit of the Fabulous Ones. Growing up, were those your favorites? Were the tag matches your favorites? Or who were some of your favorites?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, the first match I ever saw in my life, the first match I ever saw in my life was the Fabulous Freebirds against the Von Erichs. World Class Championship Wrestling. The first wrestling match I ever saw. And my first memory is of Michael Hayes strutting down to the ring with his sequined, red cape that he wore and Buddy Roberts and Terry Gordy following him with the jackets and the vest and the blue and red sequins and coming down to a Bad Street USA and just the place going crazy. And man, I was hooked on wrestling for life because of that, man. It's all because of the Fabulous Freebirds that there's a Heartbreak Express.
Well, go ahead, Spunk.
I'm sorry. My turn to cut you up, buddy.
Absolutely.
You know, we ask all kinds of goofy questions around here. We have a lot of fun with our interviews, except if you wrestle for ROH and have Barry Manilow as your entrance music.
Hey.
But one of the questions that I like to ask is this. It's a very standard question.
Uh-huh.
You can tell a lot about a person by the underwear that they wear. But
oh, wow.
This is a different twist. If you were a pair of underwear, what type of underwear would you be?
What type of underwear? Well, I would hope to be a pair of ladies' panties, to be honest with you. That sounds like it'd be a fun all-day job.
Oh, God.
We can keep it, by the way.
Either that or if I could turn that into being a tampon, I'd be in heaven for life. There we go.
Oh, dirty, sir. Dirty.
Oh, my goodness.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. If you didn't get your soundbite of the week or your zinger of the week, there it was, kid. For fans that may be fond of the Full Impact Pro promotion, which is based out of here in Florida, they're going to remember the Heartbreak Express in a couple ways. One involves Heartbreak Enterprises that recently had the tag championship belts with them, and then 911 Incorporated crowded it up. The first thing on that whole deal, working relationship with Ron Neamey overall, and what are your feelings on him and 911 Inc. reemerging in FIP?
Ron who? Who are we talking about?
The hardcore giant human tripod, Ronald J. Neamey the IV.
Oh, that guy, okay.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah, I know. No, man, I got no problem with Ron at all, you know what I'm saying? Ron likes to take his digs and his shots at people, you know, and I understand that's part of his game and whatever. I've known Ron for a really, really long time. You know, I worked for him when he was promoting, IPW. I've had a lot of ups and downs with Ron, man. I hated Ron's guts back in the day when I first got into business, and he hated mine. I don't know why. It was just oil and water, I guess. And then, you know, we started filming, Scott and I, Phil's brother, we all started working for Ron, had some good times working for them, for IPW. That we went to work for Sal at FIP, and FIP was at odds with IPW, so everybody at IPW was feuding with everybody at FIP. It's stupid political wrestling BS, but basically, you know, and it's the kind of stuff that I always hoped it just happened in Florida, but it happens everywhere in the wrestling business that I've been. So a lot of places is even worse than Florida, like California is hell, and New Jersey and places. But anyways, Ron's a great talent, man. He's a great talker. You know, he knows a lot about the business. I mean, you know, he's honestly one of the smartest people I've ever known in the wrestling business, you know, and I think sometimes he lets his mouth get the better of him, though, you know, and that's unfortunate because, like I said, he's a very talented guy. He's a great manager. And I'm very pleased that if somebody had to take my place at FIP as the lead heel personality, I'm glad it's Ron Neamey. I couldn't think of anybody better, you know, to do that. You know what I'm saying? And he's also a diehard Kiss fan. So, you know, bottom line, Ron, if you're out there listening to this, man, I know you've had so few words for me lately, but bottom line, man, we're brothers in the war paint, bro, forever, so... Yeah, I hope he remembers that.
Oh, we'll address that. The other thing the fans of FIP will remember, I just have to say three words, and they'll probably go to the nearest garbage can and puke from memories of it. The three words are Cage of Pain.
Yes. I'm still suffering from the Cage of Pain, to be honest with you. One and two. I'll tell you, the FIP... The years working for FIP, man, I got to do a shout out right now. You know, I don't know if he's listening or not, or if he'll read the transcript of this, but you know, Sal at FIP, Gabe Sapolsky was Booker at the time. The run Phil and I had at FIP is definitely my most memorable thing we've ever done in the business. We had a fantastic run of being a two-time FIP tag team champions. We headlined more events than anybody else in FIP history, with the exception of Black Market, who was our arch nemesis, Joey Machete and Sean Murphy. You know, we were the tag team champions there. We'd only wrestled Joey and Sean maybe one time before FIP. Gabe and Sal decided to bring them in, give them the big push. Feud us together. I remember at the time they didn't want to work with us. We didn't want to work with them. And we ended up having just the most phenomenal thing that Phil and I have ever done in the wrestling business is the feud we had with Black Market. You know, it got us international notoriety. You know, the matches were so good that Gabe was
putting some of them on the Ring of Honor DVD releases just to try to get over the fact of how good the FIP product was, and that meant a lot to us. And, you know, it meant a lot to us that Gabe and Sal, you know, had faith in us enough to give us the ball and run with it. It wasn't just a matter of being the tag team champions, but it was the matter of the fact that they allowed us to headline more shows. Like, no other feud headlined at FIP like Black Market and the Heartbreak Express. And we headlined DVD release after DVD release after DVD release, all leading up to Cage of Pain 1 in Crystal River, which at the time was the biggest record crowd ever in Crystal River. I don't know if it's been surpassed yet. It might have been by, I think, Cage of Pain 2. But, you know, we set the cage up. The place was packed out, had all kinds of buzz, and it totally, I would say if there's ever been a match that I would like shown at my funeral up on the big screen to say, look, hey, look, this guy did have at least one good match in his life, I'd like it to be Cage of Pain 1, because honestly, the four of us went in there and we killed each other, man. We laid it all on the line with barbed wire, with the baseball bats, with chairs, with tables, with thumbtacks, with light tubes. And the thing was, it wasn't just a garbage wrestling match, okay? Because you see a lot of things in the backyard wrestling fans, or you'll see in a lot of garbage indies guys go out there just beating the hell out of each other with weapons for no reason. This match had psychology. It had all the weapons, but it had the old school psychology where it was built up, it built up, it built up, and it had the perfect climactic ending where they powerbomb you off the top rope through the table with over 1,000 thumbtacks on it, which, by the way, powerbombing me off the top rope's no easy feat anyways. I am 350 pounds. At the time, I was pushing close to 400 pounds. So it was no easy task. It was the perfect ending. And, it, you know, the thing got over so good that, you know, Gabe ended up, we ended up becoming friends with Black Market after the match out of mutual respect. We did a whole nother year run where we teamed with Black Market against the YRR, and we ended up doing Cage of Pain 2, where we teamed with Black Market against the YRR. And that's my single favorite angle we ever did, was at the end of Cage of Pain 2. We won the match with Black Market, and then we had somebody pull the lights out, and as we were celebrating with Black Market, we threw fireballs in their faces, left them laying, and the place, the fans in Crystal River became unglued. They started pelting the ring with everything they could get their hands on, trying to get at us, and just an unreal, unreal experience, man. And that whole run with Black Market and FIP is just an incredible, incredible memory. And I actually, you know, in the final match we did with Black Market, we did a Loser Leave Town match, which led to Phil and I doing the Heartbreak Enterprises gimmick. Gabe actually recently did a thing where he talked about his 10 most favorite matches ever, and I believe that the Loser Leave Town match was something like 3 or 4 on Gabe's favorite matches ever, which to be on a list like that from somebody like Gabe Sapolsky, that's unbelievable. For me, that's one of my highlights of my life right there.
Now, you're talking about Cage of Pain 1 and 2, and obviously you've had tremendous feuds and tremendous experience all over the world. If you had one opportunity to reach back into the annals of wrestling past or pull somebody from any current promotion to book in your dream match, who would it be?
Oh, wow.
From any current promotion or anybody in wrestling history?
Anyone, I think, is what I'm saying.
You could go get Frank Gotch if you wanted to.
Or Gorgeous George.
I would actually say if there was anybody that we could have, that Phil and I could go back in time and wrestle, and I'm not saying this just to show off my knowledge of wrestling or anything. There's a specific reason for it. It would be either A, Antonio Rocca and Miguel Perez Sr., or B, the Golden Grahams. Okay.
Oh, wow.
The reason the Golden Grahams would be because I look at them as being, I kind of consider Phil and I've always tried to emulate them in a way as far as being the new generation of the Golden Grand. I mean, 99% of the wrestling fans, they would have no idea who that was. It was Dr. Jerry Graham and Eddie Graham. Eddie Graham went on to be the famous promoter of the Florida Territory. They were the first great heel tag team in wrestling, I would say. Them or the Kangaroos were also heels up. I would say the Golden Grahams were the great heel tag team. I would say that would be the team we would most like to be like. But as far as wrestle against, I would say Miguel Perez Sr. and Antonio Rocca, just because they were so popular back in the day, especially in the New York market. They had sellout after sellout after sellout at Madison Square Garden. And the heels wrestling them would get so much heat that the Garden would become unglued, and they would have absolute riots at times. Because of the heels getting too much heat on Miguel Perez and Rocca. I would love to be able to go back in time and wrestle Rocca and Perez and see if we could top what the Golden Grahams did as far as causing riots in Madison Square Garden. That would be an unreal experience, man. I would love to jump in a time machine and do that.
That's actually an awesome answer.
Didn't expect that one, did you?
I did. That's an awesome answer. I'm going to keep rolling with it. All right. Again, you've had numerous experiences, and the story about Panama was absolutely insane. I've never been east of the Ohio-Pennsylvania border to wrestle, or west of Illinois wrestling. Like, I can just kind of stay in Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana, and Kentucky. And, you know, it's kind of insane to hear stories about Panama and, you know, reading Ric Flair stories about that. I think he was down in Colombia or something where he dropped
Dominican Republic.
Oh, God.
Where that happened. And that's another territory where Phil and I are very well known. We've done, I believe, 6 tours of the Dominican Republic. And we've had a lot of close calls in Dominican Republic. And what's interesting is the gentleman that Flair did that with, where he had to drop the title, Jack, and oh my God, it's I'm having a brain fart here for the last name. It's Jack Valentes. But we actually did an angle with him in Dominican Republic where we got to attack him and start a near riot, and they're a very interesting place. It hasn't changed much since Ric Flair did that, had to drop the belt there and run out for his life. You know, we actually did a match there where we won the tag team titles against the two local guys, and we ran to the back. You know, the people started throwing bottles and stuff at us, and we ran to the back to get to this makeshift dressing room. And the fans came and were trying to knock the dressing room over, man. That tells us scary feelings, man. We were in this like ghetto region of the country and being surrounded by the locals trying to knock the dressing room over. I mean, it was,
that almost sounds like something you would experience in the Mid-South or something.
Yeah, and these other countries, man, it's still like that. They totally believe, you know, which is awesome, you know. And, I mean, I'm telling you, it gets pretty hairy at times. It really does. You know, even in Puerto Rico, it still gets pretty hairy. You know, I remember sitting in a Denny's with Steve Corino and San Juan, and we had just gotten to town, and really nobody knew who we were, but Corino had just done an angle on TV that day where he had just turned on Carlos Colon and beat the crap out of him on TV. And we're sitting in his Denny's, man, and Corino's oblivious. He's telling us a story I don't even want to get into what his story was, but he's telling us an interesting story, and I'm looking around, and I'm noticing how we're drawing a lot of attention, man. All these people are looking at us, and people are starting to gather, and I'm hearing words like gringo stuff like Americana, Luchadors, and I'm looking, and I knew they were talking about us, obviously, and they were talking about the wrestling, and they were talking about Carino, and I was like, Steve, I need to get the hell out of here right now, you know what I mean? Because, you know, that's like a cardinal sin, man. That's like beating up the Pope or something, you know, beating up Carlos Colon on television, you know?
To this day. Spug's got a traditional question he likes to ask, but I've seen some of the ribs that have been played at IPW, NWA Florida, FIP, and shows that you've been at. So other than hiding Ron Namey's luggage, doing naughty stuff to Frankie Capone, now Francisco Chiazzo's hat.
I've never done anything naughty to Frankie Capone, trust me.
Well, I meant his hats, because back in the day, Uptown Frankie was nothing like Francisco Chiazzo. I'm sure you've got some. Remember, we're PG, borderline PG-13. The best rib that either you and Phil and Scott have ever pulled on anybody or witnessed or had pulled on you guys. And before you go there, let it be known, you've got some pretty stiff competition. Kenny King was involved with one with Delirious and Brian Danielson and a knife. Carino went to a club overseas with C.W. Anderson and a Samoa Joe-like looking dominatrix. So the floor is yours to make Spug laugh really loud.
Oh, God. You know, honestly, I'm trying to think what I can actually say on the air without incriminating myself or my tag team partner. I mean, that's pretty tough. This is a pretty tough situation here, man. You know what I mean? For those that don't know, my tag team partner, man, he's fucking, I almost cussed. Did I cuss? I'm going to cuss.
Okay.
I hope you have a bleep for that. I was going to say, my tag team partner is flipping crazy.
Yes, well, we love Fabulous Phil.
Well, of course we love Fabulous Phil. I'm just saying, Phil can be crazy at times. And, you know, he's done some pretty insane things. And
well, it's just you, me, and a couple million people listening. Nobody's going to remember.
My favorite thing that I remember him doing, and this is just shows the kind of lowbrow humor we have, but I don't know if anybody on here knows Nick Fames. Nick Fames is a bit of our protege, and he's an arrogant little twat. And a lot of people don't like him because of that. But
say the least.
He is a hell of a talent, though. A great performer. If he would get his head out of his rear end, he would go somewhere in the business. But Phil's always irritated. There was a while in particular where we were dragging Nick around everywhere because I was really trying to get him to take this business seriously and get to the next level, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we were on somewhere with Nick, and Nick was always bring a pillow with him wherever he went. And he was being, I think this was just on like a road trip up Miami or something. We're on our way back, and Nick was just being an absolute, he was being completely unbearable with whatever he was saying or doing. But he was just like, everybody wanted to kill him. And he has this pillow that he would always just nuzzle up to all the time. Well, we're at a rest stop, and Nick went to go to the bathroom. And while Nick was in the bathroom, Phil proceeded to take the pillowcase off. And again, we've been on the road all day. We had just wrestled. We were on our way back on like a 4-hour drive, and Phil hadn't showered. Well, he proceeded to wipe the insides of his rear end with the brown pillowcase, the dark brown pillowcase, thoroughly wiped his anal areas with it, and then on both sides, all around, everywhere, put the pillowcase back on, and Nick came back to the car. First thing he did, grabs the pillow, throws his face right into it, and starts snuggling up with it, and that was just, yeah, that's our disgusting type of lowbrow humor. Yes, I on a much lighter note, we a lot of times we would, I remember one, we used to travel out with guys like Lucifer, Bruce Van T. We were a very motley crew looking of people, you know, the, you know, Phil and I were bleach blonde hair, and, you know, Cypher looking like an 8-foot Satan, and Bruce Van T and stuff, and we would do things like tell, you know, we would go to restaurants and stuff, and we'd walk in, and everybody would just stop and be watching us, you know, and one of my favorite things would be to tell them that we were a traveling bluegrass band, and we would, like, make up songs on the spot and start, you know, singing them to the people, and it was amazing, the people that would actually buy this and would think that, would be sitting there going, oh, yeah, I heard that song, I remember that one, you know, and, you know, it was just great, you know, but, there's so many stories. I don't know. I can't even begin to tell them all. But I apologize if I offended anybody. Yeah, I apologize if I offend anybody with the story of Phil wiping his rear end with Nick's pillowcase. But yeah,
but you can be like Jim Cornette in a few years. He did the 25th anniversary Midnight Express book. There may be a 25th anniversary Heartbreak Express book somewhere down
Tremendous
the road.
Tremendous book, by the way. If anybody that has not read the Jim Cornette Midnight Express book, that is one of the best books I've ever read on the business, and I've literally read them all. It's a must-have, an absolute must-have. But that's my plug. Jim, you can send the check in the mail for Jim.
All right. Now, we have another obligatory question that we ask anybody who comes on the show, simply because it's always interesting to hear their input and hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
If a young greenhorn were to come up to you and ask you, you know, what's your one piece of advice for being successful or getting into the business, what would you tell them?
And this happens all the time, as I do get this question a lot, you know, for whatever reason, people do come up to me for advice, a lot of the kids here around Florida especially. Be humble. That is my number one thing I tell everybody. The one thing I have seen I have seen so many, I've been wrestling now for almost 15 years. It doesn't seem possible, but it's true. And you know, it seems like just yesterday I started, but I've seen a lot of guys come and go, and I've seen so many people with just unreal amounts of talent. And the problem was they would let it go to their head right away. And this business is so political. It's so much about who you know and who you're in tight with and who has respect for you, then it doesn't matter if you are the most talented guy on the face of the planet. You will very rarely see somebody that's got a serious attitude problem make it big in the business, at least if it's from the grassroots of, like, the indies. There's different things, because obviously WWE will pick guys out of Playgirl magazine, I guess, and give them a contract and shoot them to the top. But I'm talking about going through the traditional route of starting on the indie scene and working your way up. It's very hard to make it anywhere if you've got a rotten attitude. I tell everybody, be humble. Keep your damn mouth shut in the locker room. Listen to the veterans. It doesn't matter if you think this guy is the worst worker of all time. If that guy's been around, you need to shut up and listen to him, take their advice. You get in the ring with somebody that's been working longer than you, you need to shut up and listen to them, let them lead. This business is all about respect. It's kind of late. This business is a lot like working in the mafia. It's all about respect. It's all about respect for the leaders, for your elders. This is the most political thing imaginable. You know, for anybody that's never worked in the wrestling industry, I don't think they would have any idea how political this industry is.
Oh, we'll address that in a minute.
The way it is, yeah. But that's the thing, man. You got to be humble and just keep your mouth shut. And, you know, there's some kids out there right now that I think are fantastic talents that are listening to me that I think is going to go somewhere. Like, I'll shout out right now, there's this kid, Bobby Fonta, who's in the Tampa Bay area. This kid is going to go somewhere in the business.
Oh, Dancing Machine, Bobby Fonta. I just saw him at ASW the other night. He worked with Bill Alfonso as his manager, of all people.
Yeah, Bobby Fonta's got a great attitude, and he listens. He absolutely listens, and he studies the business. There's another couple kids called the James Brothers. The same thing. They are going to go somewhere in this business. They listen. They study the old tapes. They listen to the veterans. They take the advice of the guys that are around longer. They're respectful. These are the kind of the guys that are going to get the rub from the veterans, from the older guys, because they take the first step of showing that level of respect to people. It's very, very important in this business, man. Very important.
You mentioned politics, and it's also one of the main reasons you're here because, as I mentioned, the Death Valley Driver message board alone dedicated 17 pages to you and this promotion that we'll go back to July, and this is just a compilation of stuff. This came out of Wrestling Observer. This was on a message board that had said, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, there is a new Florida-based promotion who has signed approximately 30 to 40 wrestlers to confidentiality clauses, which will kick off in the September of October. Contracts apparently have benefits packages absent from TNA and WWE. The promotion is being run by Kevin Kleinrock, Sean Davis, I can't believe I'm about to say this guy's name, Mr. St. Laurent, and Peter Karofidis, who is basically Jason Moore, if you're a wrestling fan in Florida, he's related to him. And money apparently is coming from Milton Wilpon, whose family owns the New York Mets. Apparently they have signed several of the top ROH names and are currently talking to WWE and TNA wrestlers with expiring contracts. Also mentioned for this promotion, Big Van Vader, Sean Waltman, Too Cold Scorpio, Shane Douglas, TJ Perkins, Just Incredible, and Sabu. There's also talks of not using script writers and that the concept from old school wrestling, MMA, and boxing. Now, as I prefaced before, there's legal issues involved here that we can and can't bring up. So if you can't address it, say I want my lawyer or something like that. How did you even become involved in this project? I know that may take an hour that answer.
Yeah, this is the thing I want to address the most here. Like you said, there's a lot of things I can't get into. And, you know, I've gotten a lot, you know, I'm almost going to get emotional here because this has been the last, I really, you know, I want to thank you guys for this opportunity to come on here and speak just because this has been a very emotional last couple months for me because, I've had a lot of people that I've considered serious friends in the business, and I do consider not just friends but brothers that have taken this whole thing the whole wrong way and are not even on speaking terms with me now because things hit the newsletters before they heard about things out of my mouth, and I'm just getting animosity from so many different places that I do want to set the record straight on a lot of stuff here. First of all, I want to preface this by saying I have never made a public statement about this company, okay? Nobody involved in this project has ever made any type of public statement. There has not been a press release. There has not been any type of going out and bragging about what we were going to do, what we are going to do. Everything that has come out has been from leaks, from, you know, unfortunately, obviously within our own organization at times, things have been leaked out. There's been tons of things printed, some of them true, a lot of things not true that have been printed and have been taken as the gospel truth from people just because somebody in the wrestling media has printed it. You know, guys, I hate to break it to you guys out there and everybody listening, but just because a newsletter writer prints something or a website writer prints something online or in their newsletter does not mean it is true. Okay, there's been a lot of stuff out there that has just been, bottom line, just not true.
Let me jump in real quick. Let me jump in real quick. The Triple W fame, which we all know what happened to that company, appeared on David Meltzer's radio program and said that he was approached by St. Laurent, who is a Florida mainstay. I may not agree with him on certain things, but I will agree he loves the wrestling business. He claims that MSL approached him in February after Paul Heyman dropped out. And Paul told Pete and you that he wouldn't deal with anyone but the guy with the money. And at the time, Corp Hauer was told it was Fred Wilpon, not Milton, Fred who owns New York Mets. And when Paul was told no, he couldn't have access to the money guy, in quotes, he walked. Corp Hauer then said that most startups are pie in the sky dreamers or scammers, and that he had no interest in getting back into wrestling in that capacity. But he listened and apparently had 10 questions on the promotion and was quote-unquote very suspicious of the answers he got and the information he dug up on all the people involved, so he passed. Court to court, lots of red flags came up, so I walked away. Moving forward, he heard what they wanted to do, had greater reservations about the project, and so forth and so on. Are you able in any way to address this pretty blasting statement from Corp Hauer?
Well, I mean, okay, let me just start at the beginning. Let's get before Corp Hauer. Let's get before Paul Heyman. Let's get before all of this, okay? Bottom line, this is how this whole thing came about, okay, guys? This is you're getting the inside scoop here. Bottom line is I've always had my hand in the behind-the-scenes things going on in wrestling, as well as, you know, doing the thing with the Heartbreak Express. I've always tried to help out in that way I could behind the scenes. I think anybody and everybody that knows me closely knows I've always planned on being a wrestling promoter, getting involved in the, you know, and my goal has always been to run a major promotion someday. Had no plans on it being anytime soon, okay? I was approached by my friend, a good personal friend of mine, Pete Karoftis, who is somebody I broke into the wrestling business with, okay? He broke into the wrestling business with me. We had done some stuff. We had promoted some shows together way back in the day, back in 98, 99. He got out of the wrestling business, went into the finance industry. Okay, he came to me approximately 2 years ago and said to me, Sean, the people I'm working with, some of the people I'm working with, have brought up, you know, my past history in the wrestling business. It seems to be a topic of interest among them. And they have asked me about potentially doing some shows. And he asked me if I would help him out with that, and if I would be interested in any way of coming on board and running a couple shows here and there, mostly charity events, it seemed like it was going to be. And, of course, I said, yes, of course, why not? Why wouldn't I help out my friend and book a few shows and do something interesting? So we started working on some things, and as we started working closer together on this, on, you know, what was supposed to just turn out, was originally supposed to be literally just a couple of shows, the people that he worked for, which are directly tied in with the Wilpons, and this is the company he works for, they became a lot more interested in the prospect of a actual wrestling company as an investment opportunity. Okay, that's what they do. They invest in various projects with startup companies, and they bring them to a higher level, and then they, you know, either take them public or they do whatever. This is what investment brokering is, basically, and that's what they came to us about. So Pete and I, in our spare time, and honestly, never really thinking this was going to go anywhere, in our spare time, we just started kicking around various ideas. I started working on various business plans, what I would do if I had X amount of dollars and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we went through a bunch of different, we went through a bunch of different ideas. The project evolved from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing.
And there were times in this process of trying to decide what we were going to do and what we were going to present to the money people where we talked to various people in the industry. Okay, Court Bauer is one of the people that we talked to when we were in these initial planning stages. And I've got nothing bad to say about Court at all. Court is a hell of a cool guy. Court helped, you know, he tried to help me and Phil get back into WWE back in the day when he was a writer there. He's always been super cool with me. And, you know, we brought him into, I brought him into the situation, me and wanted to know his interest. And there's certain things I can and can't get into in regards to his involvement. But bottom line is, Court's vision for what this project was going to be initially was way out of whack with what the rest of everybody else's vision was going to be. Basically, Pete and I went into this wanting to do a small regional-based southern territory with some local television using mostly Florida wrestlers, because I've said it time and time again, I think Florida's got the best wrestling talent in the world, and they never get the credit, and there's so much untapped talent here. I wanted to use primarily Florida talent, and, you know, Court came into things with a huge business plan right out of the gate, with numbers that honestly scared the money people that we were talking to. You know, we were talking about a project in the, you know, $1 million, $2 million range. Court Bauer came with a project in the, you know, $50 to $80 million range.
Whoa.
You know, and that's just, you know, that was Court's, you know, the thing is, look, this is the thing. Court Bauer is a very successful businessman. He has done all he really wants to do in professional wrestling. He does not need the wrestling business anymore. He's a very successful guy. He's got a great business going on right now. I believe he's involved mostly with MMA right now. He's done other things. He is a super successful guy, a super intelligent guy. And the impression I got was that Court was not going to come and be involved in a project unless he was going to have 100% control of it, and it was going to be a huge money project to compete directly with WWE. That was the impression I got. And the truth is, you know, I think what happened when we put him in touch with the money people, first they balked right away at the business plan due to the numbers just being, like I said, I might have misspoke by saying 50 to 80 million. It might have been something like 30 to 50 million. I don't know. It was a huge number. But they kind of balked at that. And then it was like oil and water. They just didn't mix, you know. You know, Court did not, you know, the people we're dealing with are major, major league business people that are used to calling all the shots. They're used to being in control, and they're not going to work with somebody that's going to be ruffle their feathers too much. And I just think it was a conflict of egos to an extent, and I just think that this project was never going to work for Core. Now, in addressing some of the things he said, I just think it's just bottom line is that's just his, you know, I don't even want to get into why he was making those comments. I don't know. You know, bottom line, the people that are behind this project, very reputable. You know, like I said, when Pete first introduced me to Milton Wilpon, you know, and saying that he was supposed to be, you know, it was never, nobody ever said it was Fred Wilpon that was behind this. It's always been Milt. You know, Fred knows about the project. I'm not saying he's ever going to be involved in the project, but I know he knows about the project. The Wilpon family is very tight. They're a very successful family, obviously. All the members are successful. Milt's biggest claim to fame is he created the first online the first computerized tax software, what ended up becoming what would be used now by H&R Block and et cetera,
was Milt's creation. He's owned tons of, real estate projects and, various other things over the years. And, the whole family's extremely successful. Milt's two sons, one of them, created the, voice recognition system that AT&T uses. He's very famous. Just a very super successful family. And, when I was faced with the opportunity of being able to work with these guys, I mean, who's going to say no, to an opportunity of working with such successful business people? I mean, I know I'm rambling here, but
You're fine. You're telling a story, and that's what Spug wanted. Spug wanted Howard Brody to tell stories, but you're definitely covering all the bases here. Let me jump in real quick. Because I know you said you can mention and you can't mention certain stuff. And by the way, this is the third hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio. I am Alan Wojcik with the Spud Guy from Wrestle Talk Radio. Mace, if he's done eventually hardwiring the entire world into his hard drive in Australia, he'll join us. Superstar Sean Davis has been our guest for this entire time, addressing his career as a member of the Heartbreak Express tag team and his involvement in this interesting project, Worldwide Wrestling Promotions.
Hold on one second, Alan. Give me one second, please.
Go right ahead.
Sorry, my dog saw a cat outside.
It's all right. And
I just had to plug in my phone there. Okay, go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, we tend to kill people's phones. We nearly killed RJ Brewer's phone last week when we had him on. It's like, I got to plug it in. Okay, now I got to plug the plug in to somewhere else because I'm killing the plug that's over there, too. to preface this, and like I said, I have a personal friendship with you, so I'm honored that you took the invitation that I had said to you off the air that, anytime you just need to BS, dude, I'm always an open book, right ahead. Nothing you say is going to get anywhere. And when your letter that you wrote to the talent that was dated around August 25th hit, we're not going to go into the actual details of the letter because it's all over the net. You want to read it, go right ahead, find it. It's on the OWW Genesis board. It's everywhere. Take us through your initial reaction when you, Kevin Clairock, other people, MSL, found out that this got leaked and just the venomness. And like I said, Death Valley Driver message board dedicated 17 pages to this. Florida Wrestling Fans, the board went up in smoke. Florida Indies, which is another board, went up in smoke. What went through your mind with, like, I haven't even announced, you just said, you never even announced a single wrestler. You never announced anything. What did you think when all this venom-fueled anger just came spurting out?
Well, I mean, okay. This is the wrestling business, man. It is a tough business. And I knew, okay, just kind of, again, taking steps back here.
I think we just lost him. I think his phone just shut him off, telling us that legally we couldn't talk. Tell you what, we're gonna go ahead and take a quick time out here and pay some bills, and when we come back, we'll keep this going. We're gonna try to get Superstar Sean back on the phone. Online World of Wrestling Radio, I'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop. We're that connected. and, well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Sir Rockin' is the greatest... Rock?
Oh, crap. She woke up. Well, if you really want to find out what her dreams, fantasies, and sexual desires may be, then tune into Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Thursday night. As for me, I guess I'll be there too once I find a way out of this shed she has now locked me in. Cindy, can you please let me out? I'll be good. I promise.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's length away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as...
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling films today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett
Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Triple A 357-9876. Option one is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Back here with superstar Sean Davis of the Heartbreak Express and Worldwide Wrestling Promotions is the way that you probably have heard of Sean, and we apologize for the technical issue. His lawyer was the one that shut us down. It's 877-588-9877. I apologize. I got the number wrong, and I'm getting yelled at by Ciroc. And, dude, my birthday's tomorrow. Be nice to me, okay? I'm old. I'm going to be 36. My dentures don't work good right now. you were talking, Sean, about the reaction of the community, the message boards, the smart marks, as I've been called on. In a nutshell, were you surprised by this reaction, that it seems like everybody wanted to crap on this promotion before they ever heard anything? Because I guess the main things that dinged people were, oh, Vader's involved, and Scott Hall's involved, and Jason Rance's involved.
So I want to get, I want to preface this by saying, I think the whole thing people don't understand is, this is a startup business venture. Okay, we've got legitimate business people involved from the financial world. They're not, you know, to use a term that's used for fans in a derogatory way often, they're not marks looking to get into the wrestling business, okay? This is a financial venture for them, and the rest, you know, again, I can't get into so many of the things I wish I could get into, but the wrestling portion is a part of the business venture that we are all involved in. Okay, that's one thing, okay? Because for everybody that says, oh, they have to be crazy to want to get in the wrestling business, the wrestling portion is a part of the overall business venture that we are putting together, okay? That's one point. Two, again, this is a startup business venture. We are not anywhere near being ready to announce our plans, to roll out with anything. I have never gone on a single message board saying, this is Sean Davis and I'm bringing out the neck, I'm taking over the wrestling world and blah, 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 blah. Never has that happened, nor has Pete done that or anybody else involved in this. Nothing that is out there has come from us other than the letter that I sent to the wrestlers that was leaked by somebody, okay? Those were my words, okay? But again, the thing that people don't understand is a startup business venture takes time. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of changes and a lot of tough decisions that have to be made as those changes are going on. Okay, this project started out as something that doesn't look anywhere near what it is right now looking like it's going to be. It has evolved so much over the last several months. And unfortunately, during this time of starting up, there have been mistakes made. And anytime you're starting a major business venture, there's going to be mistakes made. There were mistakes made. The primary mistake that was made was, okay, the way things work is you have your financial end, and then you have your creative end, okay? Myself, Kevin Kleinrock, Pete, we're all on the wrestling end of things, okay? But the financial people, those that hold the money, hold the majority of the power. I think everybody would understand that. And there were decisions made on the financial end. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but there were some decisions made that in hindsight they realized were bad decisions. One of those things was starting expectations for this to start way too soon. And that was the problem we got into with the wrestlers, and led me happen to be the fall guy falling on the sword with all the wrestlers, since I'm the direct contact with the wrestlers. That, guys, I know we told you this was going to start at this date, but guys, it's not going to start now until this date, or maybe later than that date. Because again, in a business venture of this size, it's just, there's things constantly changing, constantly evolving, and it's a matter of tough decisions have to be made for the sake of the overall project and the life of the project. Now, to answer the question about all the criticisms, whatever. You know what I mean? I've been criticized since day one when I got in the wrestling business. I was told I was too uncoordinated to ever make it as a wrestler. I was told I didn't have a good enough body to make it as a wrestler. I've done more things than all those people that ever told me I would never be able to do anything. I've surpassed all of them. You know, I've done more than I ever imagined I was going to do in this business as a wrestler. You know, I've never been the type of person to take criticism and go run for the hills and hide, or, you know, hide under my bed and cry because somebody's criticizing me. That's the nature of this business. When you're going to put yourself out in the public eye, which I do and I willingly do, then I'm making a target for myself. And, you know, let the arrows fly. I'm a big target. I'm 350 pounds of bleached blonde hair, dressed in pink and purple. I'm a big-ass target. Shoot the arrows at me. I'm not going anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter. All the criticisms in the world, I'm not going to stand out. I'm not going to be sit here right now and make big promises. Bottom line, there's no guarantees in this world. They say the only thing that's guaranteed are death and taxes. What I will say is that we've got a phenomenal team of people right now that are working their asses off every day to make this project a reality, to get it off the ground. We just signed a major, major deal a week ago. We have another deal that we're on the cusp of signing. And if we sign this deal, it's going to put us as a major player in the industry. If we don't sign that deal, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus. I can't predict the future. It's a day-by-day process. But all I know is we've got some very dedicated people. We're working our asses off. And, you know, and I seriously hope that, you know, WWP, you know, reaches the expectations that a lot of people have. And that's the thing, too. There hasn't just been negative feedback. We've received a lot of positive feedback, too. I've had so many people reach out to me and wish me luck with this and say that they hope we make it and say that they hope that we bring something positive to the wrestling business that's not being done right now. We have a lot of people that are really hoping that this is what they're looking for in the wrestling business and kind of change things. And, you know, and there's a lot of guys out there that deserve to be working somewhere full-time that aren't working, and that's another reason why I'm so dedicated to making this thing happen. There's, you know, you've got your talents, like your Bruce Santinis and your Sheiks and your, you know, Frankie Capones that are here in Florida that deserve to be national stars. They deserve to be headliners. They deserve to be in a spotlight. And, you know, if it takes my last breath on this planet, I'm going to get all those guys that spot, you know, somewhere, someday, somehow, because they deserve it. And there's tons more talent that deserve it, too, that for whatever reason aren't getting the breaks that they should be getting. And I also want to say as well, I'm a multitasker. I mean, I've got three or four other projects I'm working on at the same time we're working on this. So there's a lot coming from Superstar Sean Davis in the near future. So, you know, stay tuned, and you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I guarantee I'm full of surprises, man.
We were just talking about the criticism of your organization and what's coming. Do you think the criticism is fair, given the fact that there hasn't been anything coming out of the camp with you and Kevin Kleinrock and the people invested in the wrestling side of it, other than this email? Or do you think people should take a wait and see approach to what you guys are doing, as opposed
to? Exactly. I think, you know, that's what I was just trying to say, is that, you know, there's never been a formal announcement from us about anything. Nobody that's not a part of our inner circle has any clue what the overall game plan is for this project. Nobody has any idea. We are thinking so far out of the box that nobody could possibly imagine what we're actually planning on doing. And if everything comes through that we're working on, it's going to take the wrestling business by surprise, and people are going to be very, very shocked at some of the things that we pull off if we're able to make everything happen. And again, that is, you know, it is an if. There's no guarantees in this life, and that's why, you know, until we have all of our ducks in a row, until we have all the deals signed that we're working on, we're not going to come out with a big press release and with blaring our horns, you know, and saying, you know, look at what we're going to do. Because, you know, we're just not in that position of doing that. You know, I was actually reading Jerry Jarrett's book about the formation of TNA.
Oh, that's an epic book. That's an awesome book.
It's very interesting, man. It's really, you know, there are a lot of parallels to what he went through in setting up TNA as to what we're going through in trying to set up this venture. You know, I recommend anybody out there that thinks that they know everything about wrestling and that they're some sort of armchair quarterback and thinks that they could be the next major thing and could, that this is easy in any way to set up a venture like this, go ahead and read Jerry Jarrett's book about setting up TNA. It will give you a whole new perspective on the wrestling business and how tough this business is. This is not an easy deal, trying to set up a venture like this. It's not easy. But you know what? Nothing in this life that is worthwhile is easy. Okay? You've got to take big risks. to get big rewards. When Vince McMahon did the first WrestleMania, people forget this kind of thing, but he had to mortgage his house to pay for WrestleMania 1. Okay, if WrestleMania 1 had been a flop, he would have lost his home and his business. They would have been done. Okay, but he took a huge risk, and look at where he is now. That's basically the secret of success in the business world. You're never going to find anybody that is a major, successful mogul in the business world that at one time or another did not take huge risks. And that's what we're doing right now. You know, I might not be putting up the money for this project, but I'm putting my name on it, and I'm putting a lot of time and effort. I've worked a lot of, 15, 18, 22-hour days on this project so far, and I'm going to work a lot more. And so is Kevin Kleinrock, so is MSL, so is Pete Karoftis, so is the people on the financial end. And if this is going to be a success, it's going to take a lot more days like that, but it'll all be worth it in the end. But again, for the critics, sticks and stones, break my bone, you gotta have thick skin in this business anyways,
As we wrap up, I want to bring up a project that is near and dear to my heart, because I'll work for these guys for free. And that is the promotion known as Wrestling for a Cause. If you go to wrestlingforacause.org, all one word, no spaces. The next event is September 10th, and you can go to their website and check it out. In addition to soon-to-be Hall of Famer NFL star Derek Brooks being there, some big names, Kip James will be there, Billy Fives, a lot of folks. Talk about being a part of this event. And what's it like? You guys are an old school tag team, and I got to witness you guys in a locker room and possibly in a ring. Well, I saw it in person at a ball field in Tampa and froze my butt off. What's it like being in the ring with Casanova Chris and Vivacious Vito, the Heavenly Bodies?
Wow, great question. The Heavenly Bodies are by far my favorite tag team in wrestling, and to be able to get in there with them, we actually, and everything you said about Wrestling for a Cause is true. It's a fantastic organization. Phil and I are so proud to be a part of what they're doing. Every event goes to the profits go to a great cause. Buck Quarterman, Steve Madison, they treat the wrestlers, they treat all of us just in a great way. They treat us with total respect. They treat the fans with respect. They book the very best talent that's out there. We actually wrestled the Heavenly Bodies for them again two Saturdays ago in Sanford, Florida. And we're going to be rematching with them again on that September 10th show in Tampa. Wrestling with the Heavenly Bodies is if being in a fight can be a pleasure, then it's a very pleasurable experience, because it is a fight. Trust me, getting in there with those guys, it is a fight. If you're going to fight just to make sure that Chris Nelson, if he's going to kiss you, he's trying to slip the tongue down your throat at the same time. So believe me, it is a fight being in there with those guys. But it's also a very pleasurable experience. They're incredible wrestlers. They're true veterans, true class acts. And I can't wait to get in the ring with them again. I'm seriously hoping that's our match on September the 10th.
We'll make it happen. I'll make it happen. I got the promoters here. I can say to them pretty please, I want a rematch.
We do want a rematch, man. Anytime we get in the ring with the Heavenly Bodies, I'll tell you right now. And I don't think we've ever had a bad match with the Heavenly Bodies. And I think it would almost be I don't want to sound arrogant, I think it would be almost impossible for us to have a bad match with the Heavenly Bodies, because we mirror each other so well. We can go out there for 25, 30 minutes and just, I don't think there's a boring minute in the match. There's nobody better than the Heavenly Bodies, and they tell you there's nobody better than the Heartbreak Express. There's tons of mutual respect, And we love getting in there and battling with those guys. And I hope it's September the 10th. But no matter what the card is, you will see the Heavenly Bodies. You will see the Heartbreak Express. You will see Big Vito. You will see Steve Madison, Buck Quartermain, Mike Patrick, Kip James. You're going to see tons of talent. I believe Scoot Andrews is going to be on the show, Billy Five.
More than
worth the price. They should be charging double what they're charging to come to see a show like that. It's going to be fantastic.
And on that note, one of the folks in our chat room, our friend Lisa, who you and I know from going to events, made sure she said, "I have to wish you a happy birthday because it was yesterday, and I wanted me to ask you, was your cake pink and purple?"
I ate it so fast I didn't even notice. I blew up the candles and I inhaled it.
On that note, wrestlingforacause.org, all one word, no spaces. You got a lot of your questions answered, fans, tonight here. And hopefully this project does come to be, because we're wrestling fans. We want there to be tons of companies out there so that everybody works. So, Superstar Sean Davis, thank you so much for staying with us for this extended time. Hang on as we go to break. We're going to play another one of our favorites on here. If you're a fan of them in the 80s, we're going to play some Kip Winger on the way out. We'll be back. Woo. Online World of Wrestling Radio. We will actually be going right into after the break, addressing NXT Season 2 and 3, WWE, TNA. We'll talk to you after the break, fans. Stay with us.
Live in the Philadelphia, Washington, Cross, New Jersey area and are in need of a licensed massage therapist? Then you need Johnny Cashmere. He specializes in a full body relaxation experience in 30, 50, and 90 minute sessions. Deep tissue and pressure point treatment are also available. His office hours are 9 to 5 p.m., Monday to Friday. To make an appointment, email backseatjk@aim.com. Johnny also offers one-on-one yoga and meditation sessions. What are you waiting for? Set up your appointment to relaxation now.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Heard him talk about me. I heard it sometimes he never shut up. You're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Built by my dad. And my name is Owen.
Owen, what are you doing by the computer with the telephone?
Nothing, Dad.
Back to Online World of Wrestling Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much, Superstar Sean Davis, for taking way longer than I ever expected to be a part of this event. Thanks to the Spug Guy for sticking with us in that. He is tagged out to his super cool partner in crime, not only here on Otaku Talk Radio on Wednesday nights, but also Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday nights. He has braved almost becoming Nathan Jones in his home country of Australia and serving legal time from the crap that he's had happen to him in the last 48 hours. We welcome Mace to the show, and we're sorry you had to watch NXT, my friend, or see all the fun stuff, so I know you want to get right into NXT.
I'll be honest with you, Alan. I didn't catch all of NXT. To be honest, I forgot it was even on. Just like I have done all this season, because frankly, we're going to see all these guys on television no matter what happens. I did, however, catch the last little bit. I got to see who was crowned the winner, and I got to see the aftermath and also look up information on NXT Season 3, otherwise known as Diva Search 2010.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. We want to congratulate Low-Key Caval, whatever the heck you want to call him. He is the next breakout star, despite being in the business for nearly a decade. Hey, Alex Riley got beat out. So did Joe Henning, Mike McGillicuddy, whatever you want to call him. As you said, your meh yawn. The chat room kind of felt the same way, especially as we're enjoying our interview, and next thing we know, there's effing and cursing and bombs dropping. And we're interactive here. We're ahead of the curve because we are on after NXT. So let's run the names real fast for if you're listening to us or just joining us. Some of these folks I have seen compete thanks to being on FCW, which this vibe kind of feels like. FCW is, well, mentoring FCW. Naomi Knight is going to be mentored by Kelly Kelly. Maxine, who's also known as Liliana in certain promotions, is going to be mentored by former FCW talent Alicia Fox. Oksana, who, if you watch FCW TV, I really don't remember seeing her compete anywhere. She was normally with interim general manager Norman Smiley's character or with Abraham Washington. She's mentored by... I'm sorry, Goldust got something in my mouth there. Yuck. His little gold flakes falling from the roof again. Ring announcer Jamie Keys is going to be mentored by, of all people, the Bella Twins. AJ, also known as AJ Lee, also known if you're a fan of WSU, Women's Superstars Uncensored. That's Miss April, guys, and that also happens to be Jay Lethal's significant other. And the last one, I believe her name is pronounced Aloysia. And if I'm getting it right, that's actually the 6'9" Isis. If I'm getting that wrong, I apologize. And
you
she's mentioned by all people of, excuse me! That's right. Saying, excuse me! Gets you a mentoring role on FXT. I forgot to mention, AJ Lee is mentored by, not Carlito, but Primo. So, I'm leaving this to you, dude, because feel free to vent, my friend, because we've been talking about it on this show every so often, and we talk about it afterward, and I'll let Mace have the floor, and the chat room folks can mention the floor, too. This LNXT thing was fine with season one, till it turned into Michael Cole's Daniel Bryan boo, and now it's a low-key Caval boo. You know, internet bad, WWE good, and indies bad, WWE good. So, are you surprised that they're even doing an NXT 3 here, man? I mean, because Sci-Fi Network, October 1st, or whenever it is, SmackDown's coming anyway. Their Tuesday night time slot's gone because everything was on Fridays moving around. So, take it, dude. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, regarding the sci-fi thing, I was surprised that they're even going for a season 3 given the SmackDown thing. I actually thought it came in as of September 1st, not October 1st, so there
yeah,
you go,
October
my information
1st.
Is correct. Personally, season 2 I skipped right over. You know, even though I am a fan of Loki, love the dude's kicks, stiff as hell, love him. But as we sort of gathered by the ending of tonight's show with Caval being beaten down by all the quote-unquote losers of NXT, otherwise going to end up being Nexus recruits, or as Jersey Girl pointed out in the chat room, they could call them Genesis for something different, yet completely the same. I just couldn't bring myself to watch it knowing that, yeah, this is just another way to introduce a bunch of guys who are probably going to flounder around in mid-card for God knows how long. But now we got Season 3, which is going to end up being the Diva Search 2010. Let's not kid ourselves here. This is just another friggin' Diva Search. You take a look. All right. I do apologize if I'm getting names wrong or anything like that. I'm going by the information I've been given, although I was able to locate in the short time since the show went off the air. You got AJ Lee, as Alan said, you know, girlfriend of Jay Lethal. I've got co-holder of the WSU tag team titles under the name Miss April. Okay, good to see that out of the ones that have been announced so far, because I've got a slight feeling there might be a couple more, we actually have one that actually wrestles.
Yep, she was actually, to bring it up real fast, we mentioned Brooke Carter on here because she was on the last episode of Lucha Libre USA. They were the tag champs in WSU, and very interesting team, very interesting look. I can't confirm 100% that her and Lethal are still together, but that was the gist of things that are going on. So break the rest of these girls down roster-wise, not talent-wise. If you want, or kill him talent-wise. I'm sure JR's not. I'm sure Johnny Laryngitis isn't listening, and if he is, we love you, John.
Yeah, right. The Eloisa character, otherwise known as Isis the Amazon, the only information I've got on her is, yes, she is 6'9". and she hasn't even worked a match in developmental. Luckily, I heard about this girl a couple of days ago as there was interest of bringing her in. And I, you know, Google is your friend. Everybody knows this. So I do a quick search on Isis and the Amazon, and she has her own website where she has matches and everything. And I've watched them, and I've just gone, okay, Vince, we know why you're hiring her. She's tall. Good for you. Let's face it, this girl's going to be the great Kali of the women's division. Next up is Jamie Keys, who was Kevin Nash's valet under the name of Brittany in Final Resolution 2009. She has been the ring announcer for NXT Season 2. Awesome. Let's put a ring announcer in the ring, because we know that works so well.
Yeah, it's Lillian Garcia.
Exactly.
Howard Fink.
hey, don't knock the Fink, man. The Fink was awesome. He did an awesome takedown. Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah. Aksanka, who is a Lithuanian fitness model and bodybuilder turned wrestler. Yay, we now have what someone I will describe as the Triple H of the women's division.
You can say it. He's gone. Spug's gone.
I know.
Spug went to go make went to have private time.
I know. You know, this will be a girl who is very, very fit but can't wrestle a lick. And probably
sounds like sounds like China.
Pretty much. But then again, I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that alone. Naomi Knight, former Orlando Magic cheerleader. Need I say more?
But I will, in her defense,
however,
I did see
FCW Divas Champion, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, you know, alright. There's hope here. There's hope. And then, finally we have Maxine, who's Livanka or something. A Tampa
Lydia.
Model turned wrestler. Yeah. That one. Supposedly strong on the mic, was appointed the on-camera GM of FCW, according to the information I've got. Frankly, I don't see this being a good season at all. It's going to be the Divas search, let's face it. Going to entice me to watch at all.
Well, could you see this being as like an insert during SmackDown, like they did the last Tough Enough competition that Daniel Puter ruined his career in? Or would you put this on the internet as a WWE.com exclusive? You're Joey Styles, you're Vince, you're whoever. Where do you even put this product? As I said, the Sci-Fi Network roster's filled right now. Where else are you going with this show?
Well, they do have... Well, they've got the five of them so far. If they're going to stick with that, keep it on Sci-Fi. You've got to fill 4 weeks of television. However, if they didn't have that 4 weeks of television, I'd say stick it on the website and show highlights during Raw or SmackDown. You know, don't make a gigantic deal out of it, because nobody's going to care. These, and I hate to say this, these are people I will not consider decent women's wrestlers, just going off what I've said and seen tonight. There's plenty, like boatloads of better, good-looking, yet really good wrestlers out there in places like Shimmer and WSU, who would be so much better suited for a women's division in a major company, but they're not getting a chance because you've got girls who are tall, who are ex-models, fitness models, you know, they have that background, and that's why they're hired. You know, not because of their wrestling ability, because as we have seen from countless people coming into the business through the WWE system, you don't need to be a wrestler to wrestle. We will teach you how to wrestle later. That explains Kelly. I'm sorry, just being honest there, I'm getting a few gripes out.
You're fine.
As for the pros, again, you know, you got five people. Out of those people, well, six technically, because let's face it, Bella, twins, two. mathematics, Mace. Goldust is the only pro, the only actual pro out of the lot. Kelly Kelly's been wrestling, what, 2 years?
If that.
I'm sorry. If that. Bella Twins have been wrestling 2 weeks. I think I remember seeing them in matches once upon a time.
No, Primo, they've been in developmental for at least 2-3 years.
Primo, again, okay, he's got the family heritage behind him and everything, but still, he's still very green. And Vicky Guerrero, well, nah, I'm not even going to touch that one with anything. A lot of these guys, girls, have less than 5 years experience, and I believe it was Carino who said you don't actually become a proper seasoned wrestler until you hit the 5 years or beyond mark. And hell, I'm still considered a rookie because I've only had 4 years in ring experience. Okay, I'm still a rookie. But to put these type of people as the quote unquote pros isn't going to show that they can make these people into wrestlers. It's just going to show how flawed their system is.
And that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing to say. Speaking of sad, the Connecticut primary race, the Senate seats got a lot of interest in, and it's thanks to a gentleman named Harley McNaught. Now, if you're wanting to know who the hell are you talking about, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. We're going to get political for a second. TheDay.com, all one word, no spaces, which is a Connecticut-based news outlet. To preface this real fast, we're speaking about the father of Lance Cade, who recently passed away. And he said he was planning on to stay silent and grieve. And then he saw Linda McMahon come out and say that she had met Lance once. I might have met him once. And that response left his father furious. Quote, I've been with him on 2 different WWE functions where she came up to him and knew him by name. This is from his offices in San Antonio. She disrespected him. She disrespected my family. So, yeah, remember that when you go to the polls in November, guys. Last night, normally we talk SmackDown. We're going to address some SmackDown as well. The one thing we got to address is, and this is just my feelings on it, if I was producing the 900th episode of Raw, I wouldn't have put on TV what I watched last night. No, they used to joke around Stone Cold Steve Austin when he was in ECW. I saw it thanks to the WWE DVD. Used to call Nitro Monday NyQuil. This was Monday NyQuil at its greatest. And we'll let Mace have the floor in a second because Rock and I talked about this last night and today. And some wrestling friends and I talked about it. You think the 900th episode of Raw, you're thinking, cool, Stone Cold's coming back. Austin will be here, dude, cool. And they teased his music, wow, during the CM Punk promo from Hell. You think, dude, The Rock, awesome, The Rock will be here. No, he's off making the 5th of the Fast and Furious movies, so he can't come either. Damn. You're thinking, Sonny, yes. Sonny, she's around. She works indie. She does this. They'll totally bring her back. No. Trish Stratus, yay! No. Lita, no. Anyone that worked for the company from 1993 to now, no. You got treated, folks, to a normal, traditional, boring, we got a hype night of champions. We can't take time to do that. And we also learned something neat, folks, and that the Undertaker is not the only magician in his family. Oh, and of course, Sir Rockin said we got the greatest main event that never happened, and I'm leading to that with Bret Hart, who can't wrestle anymore because of medical reasons, but they still keep teasing it. And The Undertaker. So Taker and Bret hit the ring. We're ready. Cool. I go for the chokehold. Sabu light trick. Poof. Lights out. Lights on. Kane. Whoa. Cool. Lights out. Lights on. Poof. Wait a minute. How'd you guys get? I almost felt like, Mace, I was watching Chris Angel Mind Freak on A&E this Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Yes, we promo other shows. And it was just like, okay, the lights are on. The NXT kills Kane, Undertaker. Lights are off. I kept waiting on, like, the lights on, the lights off. I kept waiting for Mae Young and Gene Okerlund to be making out in the ring. Lights on, lights off. The U.S. Open Tennis Tournament shows up in the middle of the thing. You know, you had people from SmackDown showing up. Alberto Del Rio walking out for no reason whatsoever. Take this from me for a second here. I mean, your overall thoughts, was this the, what would you have done differently?
What would I have done differently?
Hey,
how are you guys doing?
Hi, welcome to Mobile Wrestling Radio. Yeah, your name and where you're calling from.
My name is William Wallace, and I'm calling from New York City. But I just wanted to say, you know, wrestling is great. It's probably the greatest sport ever. If you want to call it a sport, some people might call it entertainment. But that's really, you know, up to you. But anyways, anywho, I love Jennifer Hippolyte. She's beautiful. She's smart, intelligent, good looking. She cooks for me. You know, she rubs my back. I just want to say I'm deeply, deeply in love with Jennifer Hippolyte.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. All right, guys. Bye.
Okay.
And
I
this
have no idea what the hell that was.
And this continues our great week of callers right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to call in, it's 877-588-9877. Pick option one. Just don't be, you know, stupid.
Yeah, I thought we saved that for the Cindy Sinj Hour when everybody calls in and gives their wonderful adult entertainment stories. So, Where were we? That's right. We're speaking of weird and crazy. Monday Night Raw 900th episode. Yeah, it was really neat to see little video packages of the 900 episodes, but overall thoughts. But you don't have to break everything down. Just give an overall thought of this entire craziness.
Well, look, the first thing I address is the little video packages with the 900 episodes. Did you notice that there are only three moments that happened before, like, 2005 that they decided to mention?
Oh, of course. If it didn't involve
it seems like a big majority of their highlights from the past 900 episodes involved John Cena in some way, shape, or form, or didn't they? Past 2005, I would have, to be honest, by the end of it, I was saying I would have rather have sat there and watched a clip show of the greatest moments from 93 through to now than what they put on for us. You know, we had short matches, we had matches that made no sense. The entire show felt like Monday Night SmackDown, for God's sake. You know, I wasn't watching Raw, I was watching Monday Night SmackDown, and I really just it almost put me to sleep. I think I actually stopped paying attention about four or five times during the show to do something else because anything was better than watching Raw this week.
Thank God I had on AMC the Kevin Costner, Kelly Preston film For the Love of the Game, and every time Raw went to commercial, it was like, click, all right, movie I've seen 500 times, I don't care, it's better than this.
Dude,
I don't want to be the person that poo-poos on the wrestling stuff, man, but God.
Yeah, I know. I have a commercial out there saying we should thank these guys for what they did, but this week, no, let's not thank them. Let's turn around and be like everybody else
around
on the cool bus.
I kept looking around going, okay, 900 episode of Raw, did they bring Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara back for one night only? I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. For some reason, everything just didn't make sense. Maybe we all had too high expectations for the 900th episode because it was built up so much over these past few weeks that when it came down to it, they just gave us another humdrum Raw and we're pissed off. Pure and simple. The wrestling community is pissed off at the piss poor efforts that these guys have done. Yeah. Hell, I was listening to another radio show last night after Raw went off the air. The chat room was having more interest in talking about Power Rangers than the 900th episode of Raw. Okay, that shows you how bad that show was. When Power Rangers is better than your 900th episode, you've done something wrong.
The major thing to come out of the SmackDown show, and we're not going to go to every single thing of it, is, you know, it was leaked on their website about Alberto Del Rio, Dos Caras, that he's going to be a real big deal. We need to hope this. Yeah, he is, because he sent Rey Mysterio back to the shelf. Overall feelings of this character himself, because it almost oozes of the characters of Lucha Libre USA, like they're watching, and a lot of Univision and Telemundo Spanish soap opera guy is almost what he seems like.
I don't know, as you heard me making this light little joke by doing the snoring noises, I think this guy is boring. He does not entertain me. I don't know why they're trying to make him a big deal. Okay, I suppose we should be used to them shoving things down our throats like they have done with Marky Mark for the last upteen years. Feels like he's been around forever and a day now. And they're starting to do it with Alberto Del Rio, a guy that hasn't really done much in the ring. Yeah, okay, he makes guys submit with an armbar. Oh, wait, that's a job off that they brought over from AAA. Wow, so impressive.
The other funny thing is I want to send the memo to the WWE offices. Turning Rosa Mendez into the Body Donnas 2010 isn't going to make anybody like your product anymore. The one thing I am liking, and we'll transition into TNA with this, is the war of words between Layla and Michelle Calloway, or McCool, sorry, I can't call her that, and my personal favorites, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. This feud is never going to hit the ring, but holy crap, this thing's hitting the net all over. Layla of Lay Cool has a Twitter. I'm not cool enough, and Kenny King told me I can't have one. She posted this in response to the bashing of the group is received by the beautiful people. Living the dream and so blessed. One thing I know, when you're attacked, you have to decide if it's worth the time and effort to retaliate. Not worth the press. Plus, they don't deserve the press we get, even though they want it and need it. Real talk. Now, this is in response to if you are one of the five people like me who watched Reaction after TV Thursday night. Sorry, TNA, I took a shot at you. I apologize. I'd rather see a three-hour impact. But hey, for those that did miss it, the beautiful people are back. That's right. Angelina and Velvel are together again, and everybody is happy. During the last week... Damn right. Screw Madison Rayne. The girl stinks. And yeah, just take the biker hood off already and reveal who it is. We all know who it is. Just get it over with and reveal that it's Don West. Sorry. They took what is definitely a nice pot shot at Lay Cool. This is in reaction. I believe it was Angelina that said, "We created a group that has been like no other for women in professional wrestling. People have tried to be like this. People wanted to join us. No can do." And Talia, Velvet Sky threw in, "And for all you wannabe beautiful people girls out there, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Get a life. You'll never be us." And Angelina ends it by saying, "And you're not cool, by the way. You're not cool." I'm loving every second of this. Loving every second of it. And it's an age-old battle of...
You know, bimbos versus bimbos.
Well, I'm going to defend Angelina and Velvet for a second. Because we had talked about Michelle McCool Calloway as... Maria Kanellis had said, "Oh, she's always in the ring and working out." Now, I've never met Velvet Sky, Talia Madison. I have met Angel Williams, known as Angelina Love, and it was before she even got to TNA. And she's a really good worker. I've seen indie stuff of Matt Velvet Sky recently in WSU DVDs that are reviewed on My World of Wrestling. Check them out there. And she's another one, former girlfriend of Hurricane Helm, so she can work. And damn, are they good on the mic. So pick and choose here. If you're a promoter, who's being used better in their promotion right now? Because obviously, Late Cool, they're unifying championships everywhere you turn in WWE. Who's the better click right now on screen? Forget backstage politicking and who's married to who and who's hanging out with who. On screen, try to I know it's hard to compare, but give it a shot.
It's a good thing I decided to sit down last night and watch some guest booker DVDs with good old Jim Cornette. This one, I definitely say that the beautiful people over in TNA are getting booked better and stronger than the over-the-top real talk idiots over on the WWE. You know, again, this is coming off a Jim Cornette influence. You want to be about your work rate. You want to be about the girls who can entertain on the mic. You don't want to be putting over the girls who are turning around and would end up doing a pillow fight match because they can. You know, so I'd definitely be citing and definitely saying that the original beautiful people are doing a lot better job at the gimmick at this time.
And I don't know if anybody heard about this or not, but there's a new superstar in TNA wrestling. And no, it's not who you think it is. No, it's not. It's not the guy with the apple. It's not the superhero guy. His name is Serge Salinas. And judging by the crickets, you're going, who the hell is that? I'm going to tell you who it is. He's Dixie Carter's husband. Yeah, Dixie Carter's husband had more TV time than the X Division this week, kids. Unless you want to count the Motor City Machine Guns, the World Tag Champs taking on Generation Me. If you missed it, and I'm going to buzz through this one as fast as I can. Nate, Dixie's out. She calls out Nate. Nate flirts. She tells Nate, you know, you're supposed to be a mentor. You fail. Guess what? Bang, you're gone for 90 days. Whoa, I'm Ric Flair. You can't do that, da, da, da. Fortune comes out. Dixie talks about this, that, the other thing. And next thing you know, Serge hits the ring and tries to jump Ric Flair. Hogan, Angle, Hardy, Pope, Anderson, they hit. Dixie goes bye-bye, and the Hulkster says, brother, your 90-day suspension's not going to happen. So it's like, great, one storyline just went out. Thank you. He says, no, these guys, your fortune guys aren't TNA. We're TNA, and we're going to have an 8-man match because, hey, I want the four guys that are going to fight at No Surrender to partner up so we can just ruin the pay-per-view. What the heck? I don't get it, dude. And you guys,
I'm with you, man. Makes no sense. The only reason I can see why they decided to team up is, well, to build the suspense of, can the guys who are going to face each other at the pay-per-view work together as a team? Find out this week on TNA Impact. Brother.
and brother, exactly. The other annoying thing out of this is let me see if I can follow this, and I feel like John Madden on Sunday with a marker and a telestrator, and I'm sure they do it in other sporting venues. You got Hogan's click here, Fortune here, EV 2.0, merchandise available at shoptna.com, amazingly. Love those snazzy shirts. So you got all this going on. Oh yeah, and your world champ got laid up somehow, which we're gonna address in a second. Because when you hear why he got taken out of the roster, your wallet's gonna fall to the ground and cry. So you got all that going on. And as I said, you're the husband of the owner of the company, man, got more time than the current X Division champion, who is Douglas Williams, in case you forgot. He got put into an 8-man match at the main event. No, the EV 2.0 guys got more time than your X Division. Having Stevie brawl all over the place with Abyss, and then have Rhino brawl all over with Abyss. And I know you're an ECW fan, and this isn't a rip on it, but there's been rumors throughout that locker room of people I'm not going to name, because I do have friends still at work for that company, so I'm not going to throw them under the bus, that are basically pissed off beyond belief that these guys are even here. That they were fine with the one night event, but now you've got people sitting on a sideline that have been sitting on a sideline that now are wearing, you know, missing tags around them. So, your thoughts on this? This whole, it just feels like a cluster bomb of craziness, which isn't new for these guys, though.
No, I definitely agree with you there. This definitely feels like a cluster bomb of epic proportions. I think it was just, like, as you said, I'm a fan of ECW. However, with the now EV 2.0 guy sticking around, I really don't want that to happen. I actually oppose it. I hate the fact that it's happening for two reasons. One, it's more guys with their fingers in the pie that are going to, you know, take out the current TNA guys. You know, that's why you have Fortune trying to be a big deal. That's why you have another group going, yes, we built TNA. You know, there's too many hands grabbing at the pie at the moment, and adding in the EV 2.0 guys is making it even worse. And the other reason is they haven't really done anything, and they didn't even get decent guys. Like, where's Justin Credible? Where's Too Cold Scorpio? Where's C.W. Anderson? Where are the guys that put on the really good matches at that pay-per-view? Oh, wait, they're out doing indies or working at Olive Garden. But we've got the FBI! So? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. B, it's going to be horrible in the long run because now you've got too many hands grabbing at the pie. And three, they didn't even get the right guys to begin with. So, you know, get rid of them, take them all off, keep maybe Sabu and Dreamer around and do something with them, but let the rest go to the wayside. You know, I am starting to get more interest in Fortune versus TNA than I am in the EV 2.0 guys even being in the building.
And oh, by the way, there's number one contenders to the World Tag Championships that you haven't even heard of. That would be London Brawling. You're wondering who London Brawling is? I'm going to tell you. It's Maximus, it's Brutus Maximus, whatever the heck he was called, Desmond Wolfe, and Chelsea. They got their slot by winning a match on Explosion that if you're in the United States, you don't ever get to see unless you happen to roam the torrent sites or TNAWrestling.com and throw it up as an internet match. So off of winning, I believe they beat Gen Me. They're going to take on the Guns in No Surrender. The other No Surrender matches are the two tourney matches, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, the Pope and Anderson, and an I Quit match between AJ Styles and Tommy Dreamer. This is probably where I would like to insert the following phrase. Huh?
Yeah, well, do you want to know the actual full card?
Oh, the full card's already been... Well, we're spoilers, well, so we can't really go... We're spoiler-free, so we can't really go into it.
Well, there are a couple of matches on there that make you go, huh? I do have access to the full card. I do create custom DVD covers for all TNA events this year. So I do have to be up to date on my information. And from what I've seen, there's a couple of matches on there that make you go, huh? Others that make you go, eh. And one that makes you go, meh.
I've got something that I'm going to drop on all of you that are listening. I mean, thank you for staying with us throughout this entire event. We appreciate you being here. Everybody wants to know, we teased it, oh, Rob Van Dam's out, Rob Van Dam's injured. No, Rob Van Dam! I said, my wallet read this and it went running into a room to go cry. Word is, and this came from inside of the company, sources I'm not going to name because I'm a journalist, unlike other people who do shows, that they're fanboys. Rob Van Dam has a contract that has him work 75 dates. He has already worked 60 of the 75 dates, and that's why TNA didn't want him to go over to the 75 in 2010. Now, here's what happens if RVD happened to wrestle match 76 or appear. RVD was going to score $10,000 per appearance, and that's if he went over. Think about that, guys. Rob Van Dam, $10,000. And instead of having him drop the world championship like you should have, you set up this injury angle to take it in and out. Just that number just was like $10,000. So, I mean, if Rob Van Dam's supposedly pulling $10,000, Maze, do we even want to know what Flair and Hogan and all these other cats are bringing in? Or is that the reason why Panda Energy is around to pay this big tab?
Let's go with that's why Panda Energy is around to pay the big tab. One thing I will say about all these limited appearance contracts that they seem to have everybody under at the moment, get rid of them! Sign him to a 1 year for, like, Rob Van Dam, give him $250,000. Sign him to a 1 year contract. Then you can use him as much as you like.
Exactly. Sting was on one of the first trips that Sting made in after he reappeared. And for those of you that didn't know it, when they made it, like, Sting's back after Sting appeared. No, Sting worked for them in Nashville, but I forgot. TNA doesn't like to talk Nashville, and if you think I'm wrong, watch you shoot with Dixie Carter and she'll tell you all about how much she loved Nashville. Especially the Asylum coming in September. It's on my list. Gotta get it.
Yeah,
here's another. Yeah, go ahead.
I know I just said this, but seriously, limited contracts. I know that they're desperate to try and get people in to boost ratings, to make people watch the product. And frankly, it seems that they're giving too much power to the wrestlers to name their own conditions. And all these guys have seen, you know, Van Dam, I'm going to take a guess that Tommy Dreamer's on one, Mick Foley and all that. They're seeing dollar signs for very limited work. And frankly, this is the one thing, like, I watched the YouTube with Dixie Carter, you know, great girl. She does have a good business mind. But why did she go so wrong with this one? You know, limited date contracts for big money is a WCW thing that drove that company into financial ruin. And it's happening in the TNA. And I'm not going to put blame on Hogan or Bischoff or Russo. I'm putting it square on the one who is signing the checks, Dixie Carter. And Jeff Jarrett. Pull whatever you need out of whatever orifice you got it stuck in, sign these guys to proper contracts, and then you can use them freely. If they don't want to do that, fine. Here's your money. There's the curb. Go sit on it until Vince picks you up. Oh, wait, he'll never do that.
It's big in appeal that have been all around the place. If you get a chance, go to, there's a sub-site to themegaESPN.com. It's called SportsCenter.com, all one word, no spaces. One of the SportsCenter anchors named Robert Flores, who if you watch SportsCenter, you check him out there, has his own little podcast / insert to, I think, the ESPN lineup called Let It Flow, F-L-O, haha. And he actually did an extensive interview with the Nature Boy Ric Flair. It was done in three parts, and certain parts of it included his take on the way that the internet has changed wrestling, that he doesn't own a BlackBerry, doesn't go to the internet for anything. His sons tell him every so often stuff that they've read. Also said that the fans shouldn't dictate the way things are done in the ring. He says that this surprised me, Maze, that he said he thinks sometimes TNA throws stuff against the wall to see if it'll stick. He also said that TNA in a year and a half will be neck and neck with the WWE. Said that Spike TV needs to spend more money on TNA advertising. And because, here's why he says this. He says, because I'm traveling through airports and people ask me, what am I doing these days now that I'm retired? Yet I'm on Spike TV Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That just kind of blows my socks off, that the legend of Ric Flair, if people are asking, so what are you doing these days since Shawn Michaels' retirement match? Yeah, I've been on TV since January. Where have you been?
Well, this is a thing that's been brought up by other online radio hosts, people who write columns, just the general wrestling fan who's enjoying TNA. They need better advertising. I don't care whether it's on another channel, whether they put up, you know, little posters in airports, whether they put a billboard up in Times Square. I don't care how they do it. These guys need to put more advertising dollars down. Not just Spike TV, but also Panda Energy, TNA, whoever. Take some of these big money contracts. If these guys don't want to work for a proper contract, take that money, put it into advertising, get more people out there. And an easy way to do that, okay, here's a brilliant concept that I know nobody of these companies is gonna do. Embrace the goddamn internet. Embrace shows like this one. Send us some talent to interview, to put your shows over, to put your pay-per-views over, and we will put you guys over as much as possible, and we don't even ask for money. Work with the world as it is today. Don't try and think that by doing little shows on one network that you're going to become a global phenomenon. You need more ads. You need to embrace today's technology and put more money in that advertising dollars in different areas and different markets.
As opposed to one billboard in Manhattan somewhere, which when my dad saw it was just like, that's cool. Don't matter to anybody. Or having Hulk Hogan on your advertising for your biggest attended show, which was in Coney Island, Brooklyn, New York, with Hulk Hogan on the poster, and Hogan's not even there. And I'm a veteran of doing this for 9 years, and I'm going to be entering my 10th year in October. And from 2002 till about 2006, early 07, all you had to do, I did it out of respect, was call the TNA office, be it Jody Davis, Tim Welsh, Brad Bernstein, whoever the heck was in the media department at the time. Another girl whose name I can't remember, I remember she got let go for partying the weekend of Victory Road 2004. You could interview any of these cats. Go to my website, alanwojcik.tripod.com. You name them. I interviewed them for that company. And now I did it because I walked up to someone and said, I want to interview Ron Killings. Cool. One trip to Nashville alone, I interviewed AJ Styles, America's Most Wanted, Trinity. Then on another trip, interviewed Simon Diamond, Johnny Swinger, Ron Killings, Sonny Siaki. All in one deal. Never had them approach me and say, by the way, we need you to give us creative control of this interview and we'll let you edit. Hey, if TNA Wrestling tomorrow told me, dude, we'll give you whoever the heck you want from our roster, but one of our people has to be on the phone call, I'm sure, fine. I will buy you the cup of coffee to sit there and listen to me go on for an hour and change with whomever you want. And apparently it's the same with WWE. WWE doesn't even care that we exist. Yeah, it's fine.
See, that's
but,
the thing.
But now
yeah,
it's controlled. It has to be controlled. They want to control their story. They want to control who talks about them. As we found out on this network, that they need to control everything, Mace. And look at Ring of Honor. We got on the show alone, I've had Roderick Strong, Kenny King, we had Steve Corino, we had the Shillmaster himself, who we're not going to ever talk about again. We're possibly going to have some folks next week. I'm going to try to get to talk about Glory by Honor 9. They're able to come on and talk whenever they want, man. So, I mean, you're in the business. You've been in the business before. You've been in rings, been in locker rooms. So this kind of approach, obviously this kind of approach isn't the way you would run things. So go ahead and continue your thought.
No, that's the thing. I would do exactly what you said, Alan. You know, buy one of the writers, one of the agents or whoever, buy them a cup of coffee, have them sit in on the conversation. If they do it by Skype, if they turn around and say, you can't talk about that, fine. We change it to something else. I don't care. Bring in anybody you like. They could turn around and give us Shark Boy in character. They could give us, you know, we don't care if we're talking to the man or we're talking to the gimmick. Give us somebody, give us something to help us promote you. This is the idea. And I've even done this on the indie scene, and I tell you what, it drives me nuts that they don't take me up on the offer. I've turned around and I've said to quite a few Australian independents, I have a radio show that I have a couple of radio shows I can get your guys on. Give me some ideas for a, you know, give me a list of upcoming shows. Give me a list of guys on your roster. Give me information about your company. I will put together a commercial and we'll play it on the air to get you guys more attention. Or if you want, put one of the guys on the air. We will start talking to them like that they were a big-time American star. You know, we want to try and put over independents. We want to put over guys like TNA. But in order to do that, they have to work with us. But instead, they've got this whole thing of internet bad, internet bad. You know, the internet isn't the baddest place to be, you know. And we really need these guys to open their eyes and think for 2 seconds, hey, this is a way for free advertising. We don't have to pay these guys. These guys are willing to come to us and bring us promotion.
Exactly.
If it gets one or two extra butts in the seat, then that gets one or two extra butts in the seat with the tickets, with the merchandise, with everything else. They make money off free promotion, but they've got to be able to kill this idea of internet bad. And that's what drives me nuts. Every
hey, you're talking to the guy. You're talking to the guy who, from 2002 to 2007, was the press department for TNA Wrestling, and I never got one damn dime out of them. Sir Rockin', you've been sitting there listening to us. Your Phillies are playing. You wanted to chime in, sir.
I kind of did, because, well, this may sound moronic, but if you want to get a TNA guest on air, I don't know, give them a cold chair and maybe spice it up with some sort of special sauce or something. Maybe that'll get them on air. You never know.
You mean like barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Stuff for the wings, maybe?
Stuff for the wings. It might get them on the air. You never know. I'm just saying.
It could be. Who knows?
There's got to be something that we can do. And I know this is sort of going into a sort of backstage topic. There's got to be something that we as internet radio hosts can do, some way we can sweeten the pot to get these guys on the air, to give these guys promotion. And unfortunately, it's getting down to the point where I'm thinking we might have to break out the wallet. And personally, I don't want to have to pay to bring a guest on for half an hour to do a shill when, if they weren't with the company, they'd be willing to do it for free.
Yeah, I don't think if you're in America and you happen to watch ESPN2 this morning, I sincerely doubt the WWE paid or ESPN2 paid to have John Cena sit on First Take and talk about his upcoming movie Legendary and do a whole wrestling feud, turn it into regular stuff. I doubt Chris Jericho, ABC had a big and do this to get him to do that game show that he was doing. And by the way, he apparently turned down Dancing with the Stars due to scheduling issues. Way to go, Chris. I didn't want to see you on a bad dancing show anyway. We're going to stop the wrestling talk because unlike a certain guy, I'm not shilling a podcast that's going to be on Thursday. I'm going to shill the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if it's your first time listening to us, thank you so much for staying with us. We do this each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. I promise you we don't normally go to 12:30 a.m., but when you have an epic guest like Superstar Sean Davis, you know, you do it. As I said, Tuesday night's 9 o'clock. We're sponsored by Online World of Wrestling, the Big Bosses, Brad Dykens enjoying his mini vacation, Jason Dedrich, and also the OWW Genesis Forum is the gold standard in wrestling, unlike some that have 17 pages of dribble about one topic. Also, FloridaIndies.com is a great one, FloridaWrestlingFans.com, Wrestling911.com, where you can see me doing promos with the ASW talent, which was hysterical. Mace's been gracious in giving up his time for us because he had a horrific evening in his household, and this is where we let him, if there is anything planned, himself, the Spud guy who was with us earlier on and is enjoying time alone with the missus. We love that part of the show. We're all about the romance on this show. And the Omega, who is bigger podcast than blogged than will ever be. They host a really cool show called Utaku Talk Live tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Give for fans that may be tuning in for the first time, show your stuff, dude.
It's Utaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Wednesday nights right here on wildtalkradio.com. You'll get to hear myself, Spug, and Omega talk everything geek. We go over every little bit of news we can scrounge up, and we might not be able to segue properly, but we are able to branch off into some of the most amusing, random, nonsensical stuff that you will ever hear on the internet, and somehow we do make it entertaining. This week on the show, there's a lot of news coming out regarding a PS3 mod chip, Final Fantasy XIV news, the ATI brand going bye-bye.
What?
Really? Blizzard possibly doing a StarCraft movie with a director that they really, really want. Universities bringing video games in for study on humanity, of all things. Plus, who knows, we might even pull out movie news involving Lita and Trish. Yes. Okay, bring it back around wrestling for a minute. Lita and Trish doing movies.
Wow.
There are quite a few wrestling films in the works that I've recently been able to bring up, so we'll probably talk about those tomorrow night. But the thing is, everything I've just mentioned, we might talk about it. We might start on one thing, and all of a sudden we're talking about midgets in bikinis dancing the polka to, you know, Highway 49 or something. I don't know. This is the best thing about the show. It's three guys who are friends who are turning around and just going, you know what, we're going to put together a two-hour show and see where it goes. The only way you're going to find out exactly what goes on is to tune in tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Now, that wasn't enough. The empress of our network, and is usually the gatekeeper to people calling into the show and saying things in her chat room, and she was off tonight, obviously, because we had that interesting caller. Cindy Sin hosts a very entertaining event known as Anything Goes, and her producer and sidekick, Sir Rockin', will inform you of the Thursday night extravaganza.
Sidekick, whipping boy, whatever it is, that's my role, serving to the queen of WTR, the sinful one, Cindy Sin. She'll return this Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. We will be covering, well, if you heard Wild Wrestle Talk Radio and CB Radio, you heard a little bit of drunkenness from the sinful one. She'll tell a story about that and what happened afterwards. And that's going to be really interesting. Plus, we'll be joined by Subway, who had a nice debut on the show last week, too. So, join us for that. Subway, myself, and Cindy Sin for Anything Goes, 11 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night.
Now, are we having DJ Rockin' Sock on Friday, or DJ Stein, or DJ Kid Leo, or DJ Abby, my 2-year-old? What's going on Friday night? Do we know yet?
DJ Aussie Land? No. Tim Stein will probably do DJ night. I did DJ last night for a long time. It was just fun. Come and check out DJ nights anytime, because we have fun. You can make requests, come in, and enjoy all the fun, chatter. Make requests, make shout-outs live on the air, or hear humorous comments from one of the DJs as they do it.
Now, as The Rock mentioned, there is the legendary CB Radio, and I was the one that found out the next morning, like, you have to listen to our show. I'm like, why? Is Cindy Drunk dialed us? So I'm like, really? Oh, yeah. And if you listen to Russell talk, you heard the call. I was like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, well, we have many drunk calls, and I have a feeling one of the hosts may be drunk this Saturday as well. But on a wrestling note, we will have Ace going to be on the show. He's going to talk about his experience at the 900th edition of Raw. He was there live in attendance. So he'll have all those comments about how he reacted to Stone Cold Steve Austin not showing up.
Damn the man.
And our Godfather had a run-in with a Nature Boy on Monday night. So you want to hear that story, tune in to CB Radio and all the other craziness. It's the Labor Day special. Never know what's going to happen.
Outstanding. And, of course, Sunday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, unless it's a pay-per-view, and then we stay up to 11.
Which is the Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Because we didn't even have a full card, I didn't even want to put over the No Surrenders this Sunday. So, yeah. By my contract, I will be on the show. I get to have these guys yell at me and say, you're an idiot, you're a liar, you're a moron.
No, we don't call you moron. We do someone else a moron. But before we continue your plugs, I gotta throw something in here, because it's, you know, it is the day. It actually is. And, well, I'm the producer, and I'm going to tell you to be quiet, because we're going to go like this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Had to throw that in there for you. Happy
birthday. Yeah, no, the sisters, Helen and Edith, somebody are going to sue us. If you don't know what I'm talking about, find a show by Aaron Sorkin called Sports Night and find out what happens when you do Happy Birthday on the air.
Great show. Really good show. And if you want to sue us, admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Exactly.
Yes, remember, ladies and gentlemen, find Alan Wojcik on Facebook and wish him a happy birthday and remind him he's getting older.
Yeah, just turn the big 3-6, and if you're bored, you can like Online World of Wrestling -OWW Radio. You can also like Wild Talk Radio. If you're a Twit person, which we're not, well, Rock is, but I'm sure as hell not, twitter.com/ in big bold letters, OWWCOM.
And twitter.com/ Wild Talk Radio.
Damn right. So, thank you
so
much. I have
one too. You got to find it yourself.
The Mace thing.
Thanks to superstar Sean Davis for braving an hour and a half with us. As I said, if you join us for the first time tonight, like our friend Lisa from Florida, whose last name I'm never going to attempt to pronounce. I thought Wojcik was crazy, and then I saw hers. And I was like, wow, you win the award. Thanks to Mace for being here, the Spug guy, Sirach, and our producer. And, oh, yeah, if you're interested, coming soon to the network, not including Tim Stein's The Best Of and the return of Fire on Ice if he decides to watch the hockey, our friend Johnny Kazmir had a chance to go to another network.
He stayed here, man. He picked us.
He's coming. Johnny Kazmir and his tag partner, Vanilla Man Candy, Matt Walsh, will be debuting soon with Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny and Matt. Matt and Johnny, however they want to do it.
Joey and Rachel.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Joey and Rachel, Rachel and Ross, who knows? WildTalkRadio.com, the Johnny Kazmir Show, coming soon.
Damn right. Mark Slaughter taking us out. Up all night and sleep all day, baby. See you next week. I'm out. Alan Wojcik, thank you for joining us.